Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the IBHM podcast. I'm your host, Arizona Verse, and with me, my dude and co-host, Dick Papo.
Hey there.
I'm black, he's Mexican, and now that we got that out the way, welcome to our show. It is a podcast about nothing in particular. We got a lot of shit to talk, but before any and all that, if you want to chime in, our email is imblackhesmexican@gmail.com. You can find us on Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. You can find us on all of your social media outlets, including Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, YouTube, WordPress, and Vine. Simply add IBHM Podcast in the appropriate spot. And if you don't want to do any of that, just head over to our website, IBHMPodcast.com. And you can find all of our social media links right over there, including dedications, video gallery, and all kinds of stuff like that. Okay. Now, if you want to hit me up, my main source of social media fuckery is Tumblr. And you can find me at adifferentstateofblack.tumblr.com. And if you want to holler at Dick Papo, his main source of social media fuckery is...
I'll go with the Instagram.
IG.
Or the Tumblr, Soulpapo, S-O-U-L-P-A-P-O. Please holler.
Yes, sir. And this show is brought to you by Xanax and hookah. Yes, sir.
That is what we're enjoying currently. Yes, sir. And then if I ever get to upload the video, also brought to you by Circle K's Polar Pop, full of that fruit drink, a free coffee mug from Vaquiva Casino. I don't know. It's my grandparents' mug, but it looked nice.
Yes, sir.
And a couple of our vices, Chapstick, Camel Menthols, and what I'm guessing might be your top one record of the year, maybe.
I don't know.
We'll see. I don't even know yet. You haven't told me. Yeah. So we'll find out when we start arguing about it.
This is going to be a fairly music heavy episode. This is our year end episode. We had a great year. This is episode nine, technically 10 if you count the pilot.
Yeah.
So we're going to do a year end wrap up, take a couple weeks off, and then see you guys first weekend of January.
Is that what we're doing?
Yes, sir.
Is that why you rushed us a whole week early? Because I was hoping to have some space in between because I didn't get too many things together. But you're like, hey, get over here this Saturday. I'm like, okay then.
Let's do this shit. So,
if ever, and maybe this, and I don't want to start on controversy. Yeah. This happens in a minute. And every time a black man make a threat or make a demand, I'm taking it as a threat.
I'm gonna stand my ground.
I'm standing my ground. Yeah, I'm gonna be there. Okay,
be there with the guns.
But I'm happy though. I'm happy to be there.
Yes, sir. So, quick shout out. We got one new Facebook like. Shout out to the homie Steve Williams, who just recently liked the Facebook page. Shouts out to the villains.
We need more. We need more people to like. So please like. Sir. Tell your friends.
Share the page. Tell your friends. And also, you guys, if you guys want to upload memes or anything on the Facebook fan page, by all means. I mean, this is a community. We're a family.
Yeah. And mind you, and just like we always said in the show, if you don't like this podcast, then you must be racist.
You must be racist. So,
if you have anything racist to show, please do. I really enjoy it, personally.
And I also have a special fuck you that I want to put out. Fuck you to Chicago rapper Chief Keef. He recently put out a tweet, and I don't know if the nigga was trying to be funny or what, but He tweeted out Bang 2 and Almighty So on iTunes right now, but Bang 3, no lie, y'all really don't know how crazy I'm going. Hashtag I'm finna raise the murder rate up.
Be angry.
And anybody who has been following the state of Chicago, the state of emergency, if you will, that Chicago has been in for the last 2 years. Niggas is dying for real in Chicago. The stats are something like 1.5 people get killed a day in Chicago. And not only are you this ignorant ass fucking rapper, which there's nothing wrong with ignorant rappers, you need intelligent
Two Chainz.
You know, you need some balance to keep it moving. But to say something like that, fuck you, Chief Keef. Yeah. Fuck you.
And you know damn well, and this goes for imagine that, and I love them hoes. This goes towards, you know, teen idols too. I mean, you do some trifling, you know damn well who's gonna follow, regardless of whether or not that's not what you want to represent. You should know already the sort of shit that you do.
Yeah.
Shouts out to Bad Riri and Myler's, because they two are the worst.
Yeah, they're fucking up the youth. So, did you have a fuck you? I think you had a fuck you.
Well, not as bad as that though. But I mean, but if we're gonna go fellow Chicago with it, then yeah. I want to give, and I love you, and I hope he hears this. I love you, and I also fucking hate you. Shouts out to Kanye.
Yo.
Because, and it's so funny, because right before coming here, too, I was trying to get cleaned up, and oh my God, I forgot my damn hat.
Oh, ooh,
I'm upset. And we're recording right now. Ew. But I walked in, and just more people were commenting on the whole shit on how he went, blew up on Sway. Like, that's just, it's not cool. If there's, you should have busted your nut on Charlamagne.
Yeah.
When you had the chance, not on Sway.
Yeah.
And I give you a fuck you for that, because I didn't like that.
And actually, my girl just put me up on yesterday. I don't know where it was at, but she had heard he was in some type of interview. Oh, he got the hat now.
I'm not even her. Zanny.
Kanye did some type of interview and was talking about some video or something that he did and being on top of a mountain, and he had said that being a rapper is as dangerous as being a police officer.
I heard a segment of that. Actually, no, not a segment. I heard a paraphrase that he said that.
Because
you don't know what's going to happen daily. Like, really? Because you out in these streets, Kanye?
Yo, I just got to hit him with the come on, son.
Oh, seriously.
Come on, son.
And another thing to topics, like I said, I walked into the barbershop just briefly, just enough to see how long of the fucking line I had to wait through, which I was like, all right, dude, I'm coming in early for the show.
Yeah,
fuck
yeah.
This. This dude said, some guy said, Kanye's weird. Part of me want, and Kanye, like, someone's going to help you listen. I get you. I get that you're trying to be artsy, but just understand that your main demographic of fans, they don't get that shit, and they don't like it. That's why Charlamagne was saying what he was saying, because...
Yeah.
What you're known for, and I'm sure you don't want to just be known for that because you don't want to be categorized and put in a box. They don't give a fuck. They just truly don't. I do, because I love you and I'm really weird. But most motherfuckers, they don't care.
Peter Rosenberg, I shot this podcast out like every episode, the Juan Epstein podcast.
The Jew and the Spick.
The Jew and the Spick. They had Kanye on about a week or so ago, and they only got him on there for about 25 minutes, and then he had to go. And after he left, they got to kind of talking about Kanye and all that. And Peter said something that was interesting. And he was saying that he does feel like Kanye is a genius. And he was saying that you could always tell a genius because they don't see the world the same that other people see the world. And he was like, you know, working for Hot 97, I get to be around a lot of artists. And he was like, when you're around like a Jay-Z, you can tell he's a genius because he doesn't think like everybody else. When you're around Eminem has these odd quirks, like their brains don't work like everybody else. And that's what helps them to do the art and the shit that they do and take it to the next level, because they see something, you know, from a different light. And Kanye is the same. But I think the biggest problem with Kanye, you take Eminem, you take Jay-Z, all three of them geniuses, all three of them are legends in the fucking game. If there was a hip-hop hall of fame, they're all first ballot people. The biggest difference is Jay-Z and Eminem know how to shut the fuck up. I'm pretty sure they think silly shit like this too. They don't say it. They keep it to themselves. Right. And that's where Kanye fucks up, is he has to say everything he thinks. It's like, Kanye, just keep it to yourself. Please. Please.
There's a reason why Eminem ain't on Twitter.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why I don't think even Jay-Z has one.
Jay has a Twitter. Really? And I think he's had it for a couple years, and only once, as the Magna Carta CD came up, he hopped on it one day and trolled some people for like an hour and then hopped back off, because he knows that he's going to say some dumb shit eventually. Like, you don't have to say everything you think.
Even then, I'm sure it's a fucking AR or some sort of somebody's assistant typing it, making sure it clears, checking in with somebody else.
Yeah.
Is this okay? Can we say that?
Can we say this?
And
actually speaking, we won't go into it too far past the hookah. We won't go into it too far, but did you see that shit? R. Kelly got into some shit, the Ass R. Kelly hashtag?
No.
Yo, wait,
I saw a picture, though, of him, Lady Gaga, and there's some other white girl, and I forget who it was, but it was just like, he would just sit in the middle of them, like, yeah. Kales.
Kales? Fucking, where the fuck is, let me see, I'm just hop on a random one. Yeah, because they started a Ask R. Kelly hashtag, and some motherfuckers was tweeting them back, and just kind of fucking with them, and it was like a couple of the responses. Somebody said, when you wrote 12 play, were you teaching your boo how to count? And another one. is her body still calling, or did her parents let her use the house phone?
Damn.
This ain't even all of them. Yeah, it was a whole bunch of them. Motherfuckers was just roasting them, and it's just, yeah, it's fucking silly. Like, R. Kelly is one of those people where, like, he's a celebrity, and he still is relevant in the game, and he's still, his CD is still going to fucking sell, and people are still going to buy it. But things like that, like asking Twitter to ask R. Kelly, you started something. I don't think you guys thought that one out, so.
Either which way, shout out to Kales. I'm wondering when does that one come out this year? Is it in the beginning? I don't even know.
I just know. Yeah, it's called Black iTunes. Panties, right?
And either which way, in my top, because we're gonna do a top, year of records. Yeah. I do have a bit of a mix, bit of genre, because I mix it up a little bit. And I would have liked to hear this album, because I do have one R&B that takes a slot, and
And I'm actually glad that yours is Mitz, because, mine is
going to
be...
all hip-hop.
It's all hip-hop. It's all hip-hop. But real quick, let's get into some randomness. Did you update your Instagram?
Yes, after... because I haven't even been on it for a good minute. Like I said, I try to take my breaks because I can get really stuck on stuff. And then I saw people kept on showing the Instagram Direct?
Yeah, like InstaDeck.
Is that what it's called, InstaDeck?
Yeah.
Oh, then I totally fucked up my hashtag then.
Oh, did you?
No wonder it ain't got enough likes. And I was like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, is this another thing I have to download? Like, is this a new app? Because they used to have a thing called InstaDM, which was like, like on Twitter you have DM and you can message somebody.
Yeah.
It had that, but it was a whole different app outside of itself.
Oh,
like a third party, which I'm always leery of, because I hate having to give passwords or anything else from a third party, because you're giving out your information, you're selling your soul, you're telling them too much shit that they don't even know.
Exactly.
But yeah, I guess you just upgrade it and tell people about it.
Oh, shit.
Or I can keep talking about it, but what are you doing?
Oh, no, I just got distracted. I got Facebook up in the background, and one of our previous dedications, Miss Sandra J.K. Pagan, has a new profile picture that is fairly... nice.
I'm guessing it's nice.
It's nice. It's nice.
But the InstaDeck, though,
from
my understanding, what is it? It's pretty much you could send pictures and videos and make it private, supposedly.
So,
well, that's the intent, to keep it private.
Niggas is going to get fucked up in the game, yo. This is, Instagram is setting some relationships up for failure. And it was funny because the day that it popped up, there was a whole bunch of memes with like couples arguing and chicks being like, "Nigga, let me see your IG deck." Oh. Like, niggas is gonna get fucked up in the game.
I saw one meme that had me rolling. I was like, "Ooh, I can't wait for this." It said, "Motherfuckers gonna be put on blast. I can't wait to see the first person put on blast."
Yo,
and you know it's gonna happen, and they gonna at you, and you better change your name because
coming.
And I like to keep my name the same, so please believe I'm going to be on my best behavior. I'm like Drake.
On my best behavior. No.
Oh. Not instant.
Remember?
If not, you don't remember. It's going to tell you the time and the date.
You don't remember.
That's the one line you must just say to each other because of that song.
Yeah, we'll
be like, motherfucker.
Motherfucker.
See, this isn't that song. Whatever.
Remember?
Fuck.
Fucking, you want to take the next article? I had saw this shit. And I thought this was fucked up. You could bring this up. I gotta bring something else up real quick.
Is this the random shooting?
Yeah.
And I guess, and this kind of goes perfect, because it's kind of like one of those, like, what the fuck? There's a man charged for wounding bystanders with bullets, shot by the NYPD. And this actually really quickly, we had a similar thing happen here in AZ too. And I forget it. This was early on in the year, and actually this should have been part of the segment, but I really didn't do too much research on it, because I mean, motherfuckers, just like in games, they shoot first, ask questions last, thinking they're motherfucking Dirty Harry. but you were bringing up the one in New York. We should have bought the one that was locally, but I guess this is more because it was featured on All Hip Hop. It says here, I don't, you want me to paraphrase this or read on through it a little bit?
Oh, we can paraphrase it.
Because it's in here, and it says, in yet another twist, of the NYPD effed up force, an emotionally disturbed man is facing charges with bullets meant for him that wounded bystanders instead. Says according to the New York Times, an emotionally disturbed man. I love how they keep referencing emotionally disturbed. I mean,
he's not okay.
Motherfucker's just really pissed off is what it was. Was shot at by police, and he was staggering around traffic near Times Square, one of the busiest fucking places you can ever go to New York, by the bullets wounding two bystanders. Says here today the man who's 35 faces charges on assault for those bullets. Now how the fuck can you get in trouble for some shit that a cop shot out because it was meant for you?
Yeah, I was like, that is fucked up. Now, what makes this even more fucked up is, did you see this other story about this rich kid that killed the four people? I had to Google it. I didn't have it in the notes. Apparently, a judge ruled rich kidness makes him not liable for deadly drunk driving accident. Apparently, a 16-year-old has a rare condition that a judge believes is best remedied with anything but dealing with the consequences for causing a DWI wreck that killed four people. The kid suffers from affluenza, according to his lawyers, and it's a term which means that his wealthy parents pretty much let him get away with everything. The defense saved him from a 20-year sentence. So that, like, fucked me up that this 35-year-old black dude or whatever, and not even to throw race into it, but just this 35-year-old dude, got into some shit, some cop shot at him, missed him, hit some bystanders. This nigga's going to jail for that. This fucking rich kid, because he's been spoiled all his life, kills four fucking people while driving drunk, and he's getting off because he's rich. Poor rich kid.
Well, look, he didn't do anything wrong. He just had a few. You know what I'm saying? He technically only had about 3 in dog years. You know what I mean? And, you know, it was an unfortunate event. Now, this black man, who's old and should know better, hurting somebody.
That nigger should know better.
He should know.
He should know better.
Yeah, you run from police, you did something. Why are you running?
His life is completely fucked up. So, that's complete and utter ignorance. And, I couldn't believe that. There's this whole thing, too. I'm going to get nerdy for a second. Have you ever heard of, as this is queuing up, have you ever heard of, we're going to dive into some nerdism, simulation theory? It's a scientific thing going on right now.
The two words make sense on its own. Putting them together makes a little bit of sense, but tell me, what do you...
There's this whole thing that scientists are trying to figure out right now, and there's this thing called simulation theory, where they've been through super string theory and different things, and how nature moves and other things. Scientists have come to the conclusion that it's possible that we might be inside of a computer program.
Matrix.
Yeah, so essentially what the Matrix was, their scientific proof on a ground level that the world that we live in might be similar. Like, it's kind of computer generated, if you will. And it's funny because I've been kind of, you know, researching, reading up on it for the past year. It's interesting, especially with me being the Matrix stan that I am. And how wild this past year has been, I'm starting to believe that we are in a computer simulation, and somebody is trolling us. Whoever's writing the script for this year is trolling us. You got the fucking, what's the Rob Ford Toronto mayor who's smoking crack and wilding out, and he tackled that one bitch at the fucking thing. Like, this ain't real. We're in a computer simulation. We're getting fucked with right now.
I think social media is just at an all-time high. But you know what? We are in a simulation. We are in this, I forget what it's called. What's that little middle between hell and heaven?
Purgatory.
Purgatory. We're in that. And I hate to sound like a goddamn Bible thumper, but straight up, it's all God. This is all intended. This is all part of the plan. And it's real fucked up, and it's hilarious. And I'm pretty sure people up there and down there are laughing their asses off because they know the truth.
Yeah.
And here we are trying to put science and facts behind it. But they do go coincide. They do coincide.
And it's actually funny, too, because I will say this, that if they were to break down simulation theory and find out that we are in some type of advanced simulation something, whatever, that still kind of, in a sense, would prove existence of God, because that means that there was a creator.
There's a higher power.
So even if it's us in the future who created this and we're reliving this, or if it's some fucking alien who created this, or if the robots did take over and that we are in some type of simulation to keep us fucking dumb and stupid, there's a creator to it. And so I just find it funny. I just wanted to throw a little little nerdism in there.
Really quickly, since the Rams are nerdy, there actually was a South Park episode, and I haven't watched South Park in years. Shout out to, I forget the names, Trey and some shit. Matt and Trey Parker.
Yeah.
Whatever, it don't matter. It's insignificant. South Park, there's an episode where they find out that aliens, that world in itself, we're just some big old reality TV
thing.
That
was the greatest fucking episode.
And it's so funny because, like, the moral of the story, which ultimately saved our lives because they were going to cancel the show.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember if world peace had entered in or we came to the realization that, you know that we got to behave ourselves. The assurance that these little kids gave these UFOs or aliens, whatever the hell you want to call them, told them, look, there's plenty more fucked up things to come. Don't stop the show just yet. You know what I'm saying? We're just in the middle
of
it.
We're humans. We're stupid. Yeah. We're going to fuck some shit up eventually.
We're just a few million years in. We're just evolving. we'll get it really cranked up. You know, we'll have rape in the streets in no time. Please, give us a shot. Give us a chance. We'll be here in no time. But,
was one of my favorite fucking episodes because, it was like around the world or around the universe, there's like a planet with just cows and there's a planet with just black people and there's a planet with just birds and all that. And the Galactic Enterprises thought it would be funny to take them all and put them on one planet and film it and watch us like the Truman Show. And, I was like, that was brilliant.
Real talk, honestly, why do you think, like, interracial shit still tickles the assholes of some people? Why do you think motherfuckers just really don't like things that are different? I mean, it kind of makes sense and stuff, and also I'm accepting a change.
Yeah.
And I've never been a techie or a Star Trek guy. I've never been that, but I always loved the fact that that's kind of how it is. They all came from different worlds. You know, we just happen to be on this great USS Enterprise that just happens to be working together for this common mission.
Yeah.
So
I thought that was crazy.
Makes sense.
And actually, that's a good segue. Speaking of interracial relationships and people getting their panties in a bunch, I think it's ABC does a series called What Would You Do, where they put people in scenarios with actors, and the actors play off a role. And a lot of times, sometimes they has things to do with racism. Sometimes it deals with how people will react towards gay people and all that. And they'll just put people in a scenario and then kind of watch how the people around them react. And then, you know, they ask them questions and all that is just to show how people really act in situations. And this came up on my Tumblr feed, I guess, the day that I'm assuming this is a brand new show.
Is it the one in the barbershop?
Yeah, and it came up on my Tumblr feed, and there was a lot of different takes on it, and so I wanted to play this for you folks, and then we're going to comment on it, and I just thought this was fucking crazy, so I'm going to go ahead and play this real quick.
We're back at Danny Moe's Barbershop in Harlem, where a white barber was discriminated against simply because of the color of his skin.
The white dude? What you know about this, man?
But what if now things get more personal?
Excuse me.
Rachel is an actor playing a hairdresser who has her eye on a new customer.
You've been working here for a while?
Yeah, for too long. When are you going to come save me?
All right.
But Gabriel has a girlfriend, and when she shows up...
Hey, baby.
Hey.
Do you want me to wait for you over here?
It's a rude awakening for Rachel.
Say what? You with a white girl?
Yeah, that's my girlfriend.
You couldn't find a strong black woman for you? Excuse me?
If you saw this woman berating an interracial couple, what would you do?
Hey, baby.
Hey.
Hey. Baby, you dating a white girl?
I'm dating a girl who is white, if that's what you mean.
Okay. I don't get it, but that's crazy. The only thing crazy is you being in here.
Rachel isn't pulling any punches with Christian. And at first, this woman takes the soft, comforting approach.
I'm not bothered by you. Nobody over here is bothered by you.
Thank you. I hope y'all don't plan on having any children.
Like I said, she sounds like a real hater and she's insecure.
And with that, Denise Muldrow is so upset there's nothing holding her back.
She's ignorant.
No, she's not talking about me.
I'm talking about you that's brushing his hair. You are ignorant. Keep your opinions to yourself because it sounds stupid. All right? I'm letting you know. Black girl to another black girl sounds stupid. As much criticism as we went through as a people, you're going to go and do it to the next person? What gives you that right?
Why are you defending a white woman, though?
I don't care what she was. She could be purple. I'm defending a woman, period, point blank. That's what she is. She's a woman. Or maybe you're not. I'm sorry. She's not a woman. She's a bird. Get out of here, birdie.
Well, before our actress flies away, it's time to introduce ourselves. What would you do?
I'm crazy, don't pay me any mind. That's just the Brooklyn in me.
And you have to say something.
You know, you gotta learn to speak up, especially when something is wrong. Don't sit around anywhere where you're not feeling comfortable. Speak up.
Timely words.
She's not one of us.
Because things are about to get very uncomfortable and quiet in here.
She ain't gone through what we gone through. Not too long ago, what we were going through. Still going through.
We have a black president. Shouldn't that show you how far we've come?
Look, I'm just saying what every woman here is thinking. So, you know, kill the messenger, whatever. They wouldn't be with a white guy, would they?
Kristen walks away for a minute.
I can't take this. Sorry.
And still, no one says a word.
Am I right or am I right?
Why not?
Yeah. So, that popped up on my Tumblr one day, and it was interesting because a lot of the comments that I kept seeing were people saying that they didn't feel sorry for the white girl and, oh, fuck her and this and this and that. And it really bothered me. And it might be because I'm part of Team Interracial. But even regardless of that.
I wish I was.
Regardless of all that, like I've said it a thousand times, I'm a humanist. You know, I don't subscribe to any one particular group way of thinking. And my thing is ignorance. Like, I don't give a fuck if it's a white chick and it was fucking silly. And that's why I posted on our Facebook fan page, and I had put that having the state.
Did you already load it up? I was just about to do it too.
Oh yeah, it's already on there. Okay. Yeah, so you don't have to throw it on there. I had posted that treating all white people like white supremacists is no different from the American government treating all Muslims like terrorists. Like, it's ignorant. That's fucking stupid. And even if it was the other way around, like, it's fucking stupid. Like, I don't give a fuck what the situation is. But yes, we are aware that we live in a Eurocentric world and all that. And yes, there's slavery and yes, this and this and that. And yes, there's a lot of shit that we need to get fixed in the world. But that doesn't mean that you could just be an asshole to somebody else because they did. Like, it's that really drove me fucking nuts. I couldn't believe that shit.
I don't mind jokes.
Yeah.
And I think if it could be done tastefully, I don't know how tastefully you can make a racist comment, but when you're like, in somebody like that, that shit's rude. That's what I call rude.
I've said that a thousand times too with like stand-up comedy. Like, I personally don't get offended when I hear a black joke being made if it's a joke. You know, it's a difference between a joke and a racist ass fucking comment. You know, and like I used to always say to my black people, I would always say, like, you can't laugh at Chris Rock's cracker ass cracker, stick my foot in the crack of a cracker's ass joke. You can't laugh at that. But then when Archie Lane cracked the joke about playing basketball with the black dudes, it was like, pass me the ball, nigger. And you can't laugh at Chris Rock saying racist shit and then, oh, but I'm offended by this because it's aimed at me.
The dude who's cool with Conan O'Brien, the big guy?
No, it's not him. I want to maybe Artie Lang.
Artie Howard Stern.
I believe so. Yeah, there's a, if you type nigger in on YouTube, that's one of the first things that popped up was that joke.
Him and the dude from Seinfeld?
Yeah. And so it's like, that's the whole, fucking Kramer. And that's another thing. Okay, Kramer is a great example. What Kramer said and did, that was some racist ass shit. Like, that was fucked up what he said. Like, he wasn't trying to be funny. He was trying to be hurtful. So people getting upset about the Kramer going off at the Laugh Factory, like, I get that. But cracking a joke, like, there's two different things or whatnot. And like I said, that's at the end of the day, everybody, every joke, there's somebody at the butt of that joke. And so you can't laugh when everybody else is being made fun of, but when it's back on you, you don't find it funny. It's fucking stupid.
you know, I'm kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, but...
It's human. But it's just, we just need to be aware of it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I hate openly. You know what I'm saying? Very openly. Too much, in fact, some would say. Especially in the business environment. But I know, like, when I hear, like, a beaner joke, it's like, I'm like, that's funny.
Yeah, like, yeah. See, and it's a difference between, like, when you get to the age-old stereotypes, like the whole white people can't dance. Like, that joke's not funny anymore. Like, we've said it a thousand. It's played out. Just like the whole black people eat fried chicken. It's played out. But when it's a new form of making a joke about something, like, it's like, just get over yourselves, people. And like I said, you can't just sit up and treat other people a certain way, but then get mad when you're treated that way back. And so, I don't know, that video just really kind of rubbed me the wrong way with the fact of how I agreed with the woman standing up. Like, I don't give a fuck what her color is. Like, that's just, you're being rude right now. You don't need to be rude. And it just, I couldn't believe that the people who I saw who were reposting and reblogging it was like, yeah, I wouldn't say that white bitch neither, fuck her. And it's just like, that's just fucking ignorance. Like, that doesn't help anything.
I call that haters, because I'd be hating on the motherfucker too. Like,
why you gotta have a white bitch and I don't got a white bitch? Tell me that.
At the end of the day, Papa wants a white bitch. We're gonna find some white
bitches. Hopefully she ain't a bitch though. But I feel like if I say it enough, I'm proclaiming it. It's gonna have the guys gonna deliver me a white bitch. Gonna be like, you asked for a bitch. She be real mean to. She gonna make you cook. Oh, I don't want it. I didn't want it like that. Well, you asked for
but
it.
But she pale skin.
Oh, okay. As long as I keep the lotion in it, my flip. All
right. Yes, sir. So,
Speaking of not. Pale of skin.
Yeah.
Make the segue on over. And I heard about this and I was like, well, do you want to go ahead? So when I heard about this, it was a big deal, and pretty much Beyonce releases a surprise album, you know, and releases it only on iTunes.
Yeah.
And which is
with no album cover, no promotion.
Oh, they have an album cover?
Nothing.
It was self-titled.
Yeah, it just came, just popped up on iTunes out of the fucking blue.
Speaking of Blue, because I'm looking on here, features her daughter, Blue Ivy.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear the track. I heard about it, and I wasn't too sure. I'm like, what the fuck can the baby say? She's going to do, you know, about ga-ga-ga-ga, like, on it. But, well, I mean, I guess it's sweet. I mean, to me, this is a smart. I mean, she's big enough of an artist where she don't need to waste money on marketing, waste money on CD presses, because what's the highest form of digital downloading when it's legal and it's being paid for and you're getting at least 7 cents per track? iTunes. So when it comes to that, I mean, you know, you're going to see there people who are your fans who are following you on Twitter, following you on Instagram, following you on whatever social media. They're going to see it. If they're a fan, they're going to buy it and they'll get it. And obviously there was no money wasted. Everything went straight towards this. It says this is what I didn't get. There's 14 songs, 17 videos, and it says collaborators include Jay-Z, of course, which I know that was the featured track.
Yeah.
But I heard a little bit of, 'cause they actually played this on the news, like straight up real talk, because I listen to talk radio. I'm like, motherfuckers hate me at work because y'all want to hear whatever hip hop station's on, and that shit, they replay the song a million times, as we know, so I don't want to hear that shit.
Yeah.
And anyways, but they had referenced it on talk radio saying that she released an album and that the little snippet of a song was on with Jay-Z. Maybe you can speak more kindly of Beyonce, because this is...
No, but I was going to say, me personally, I despise Beyonce with a passion. With a passion, I despise this woman. But hats off, salute to her for dropping a album out of no fucking where. And apparently in the first 3 hours, it sold 80,000 copies, like within 3 fucking hours. Yeah. And the only reason why, like, I didn't even know about it until me being on Tumblr, like I get down. And, I just start seeing a whole bunch of fucking Beyonce as a bad bitch posts, like all these like praising Beyonce. I was like, why the fuck is everybody praising Beyonce? I don't know what the fuck is going on. So I just typed in Beyonce's name in Google, like, what the fuck happened? And then found out that she had dropped a new album. And I must say that hats off to her. Beyonce, I gotta give you your props, because that shows how bad you are, because the joke that everybody is making is this completely shits on Lady Gaga, because Lady Gaga spent $25 million promoting, marketing that CD for it to motherfucking flop. Beyonce doesn't even say some shit, just, here, take that. And the bitch blew the fuck up again. hats off. I gotta show respect where respect is due. And yeah, you just showed you a bad motherfucker to be able to do some shit like that.
Truly, truly. And actually, it's funny because this is one wigger chick at work, and she's beautiful.
Yeah,
she's kind of old as fuck because she's, I think, like damn near 40. No offense to those that are of that age, but she's adorable. And so let me give her a prop. She's the cutest. She has my favorite dyke look, and you remember me mentioning my favorite dyke look, and but she is a Beyonce stan. And when they came down to, cause she just, she was just down, I'm good. She had just came a few days ago, actually. I don't know if you had seen this. She had made a show, and motherfuckers were going crazy. There was like parties in the streets, apparently. I figured if it was at US Arena or where was that, but okay. Beyonce came. That homegirl was making a big old deal about it. Personally, because I kind of despise her. I liked her back when she was Destiny's Child. I don't know if it's the whole with Hove thing or what it is.
I think it's the whole with Hove thing.
Or maybe it's just, and, you know, shouts out to Noah. I fucking hate him. I was hating when, and I'm going to feel like a real girl. I was not feeling her little pixie cut. And mind you,
she cut her hair short. Yeah, I forgot about that.
She's unbelievable right now. Yeah. But before that, she had a little pixie cut, which is supposed to be cute. Every bitch who I've seen rock a pixie cut, from fucking Anne Hathaway, Pale Beauty, to freaking Jennifer Lawrence, Pale Beauty. And not to say there's a difference, because Beyonce ain't a Pale Beauty.
Yeah.
But I just wasn't feeling it. I was like, what are you trying to do? Why are you? I mean, because Rihanna looked good in doing that for a bit. You know what I'm saying?
And shouts out to my boo, Jada Pinkett Smith, back in the day. She used to. Oh.
Yo, I remember when she. What was it? The first movie I seen her in was that I can remember. I know she was on Different Worlds, but when she did Shame with one of the Wayne, the older Wayne brother.
Yeah.
She was adorable as fuck. She rocks the cut. Anyways, regardless, I just don't like Beyonce, but I love the fact that being smart, when you're an artist, you really don't need to spend the way you've been doing. Especially Lady Gaga. This bitch should know. She's an artsy bitch. She should have been on Tumblr. She should have been on some social media. And let the little monsters do the work for you. Don't fucking let Interscope get you $25 million in debt that you're going to have to pay off because that's part of the contract. That's fucking ridiculous and stupid. And
that's
out to be.
That's one thing I'm going to have to say, that I hats off to a bunch of different artists today in this year. Jay-Z. That sounds funny as fuck. Popo trying to fix his mic stand. Sound like he was farting into the mic. Shouts out to a bunch of different artists this year that tried something completely different with putting their fucking CDs out this year. Like, I know you hate Jay-Z, but that was a brilliant marketing strategy to link up with fucking Samsung and do that.
Perfect way to get a million sold right away.
Before the fucking CD is out, you sell a million copies. Shouts out to Beyonce for doing. This is the
smartest thing I've seen.
This is the true definition of word of mouth. Because bam, it's out. Let the people talk about it, the buzz, and that generated so many fucking sales. And it's just the music industry cannot sustain itself right now the way it's been doing everything the same fucking way since the beginning of time.
It's old ass formula.
And I'm glad that the artists are starting to recognize this year and they're doing something completely different. And shouts out to Childish, but I'll talk about that a little later on in the show.
Before we switch it up,
we won't even get to that just yet.
Well,
so.
I wanted to give out two more things to Beyonce. There's two things that I liked that I heard. Not that I heard the album.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure probably I will, hoping that it's going to be more than just a single ladies fucking sort of album.
Yeah.
Two things I liked. One was the fact that, is she still on Universal? Def Jam? Def Jam?
I do not know.
I like the fact except that there's no way for any possible leaks unless it's people in your own camp.
Yeah.
So I thought that was smart.
Yes.
And the fact that the way she had phrased it, because like, so they showed a snippet of in the news, which I was tripped out that this fucking news, which is kind of Republican Republican oriented, commented on it. She said that she waited until her body of work was done. And I like that, because when you're making an album, usually you're kind of rushing shit. You got some A&R fucking asking you how much we got in the can, you know, how many singles do we have? I'll be ready. This is not. No.
You have a single that's ready for the sound that is today, yada, yada, yada.
And then even then, that has to do a bunch of testing. That has to be out in the mix. No, she's big enough of an artist where she knows, I'm just dropping some shit and people are going to pay for it. Because there's stands of Beyonce.
Exactly. Yo, she has such a huge fucking subculture fandom. Yes.
Once again, she has a certain hairstyle. People gonna rock that hairstyle.
Yes.
Which is, once again, why I laugh when she didn't rock the pixie cut. Because I love my dyke bitches and they pixie cuts. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
It's actually funny. I posted. You can follow me on Instagram at Arizona Verse. Some nigga named Harry T. Hanley, I think from Twitter, had posted, y'all hoes want to be like Beyonce, but don't want to date an ugly nigga.
Camels.
Product placement. Like there we go. Okay. Yeah, we're trying to get some sponsors over here. You dig? So on to the next one. Our favorite, one of our favorite artists that me and Popo gotta agree on, fucking Kendrick Lamar. Soundkick recently put out a survey or whatnot on the hardest working artists of 2013, and not only was Kendrick Lamar the hardest working rap artist of 2013, he came in as the second hardest working artist of all genres in 2013. He apparently within the span of the past year has done 171 shows and has traveled 229,583 kilometers, which you guys do the math because I don't know how that maps out. But that's equal to him traveling around the world 5.74 times. Shouts out to Kendrick. Kendrick is doing the motherfucking thing. And well, go ahead.
No. Well, I was going to say, and I'm actually looking at the list now, Local Natives actually got top one. And
who is that?
They are, I don't want to say indie, but kind of indie.
Okay.
And I actually fuck with their shit. I actually heard about them on Tumblr. This is about a few years back. And I respect them. I really do. They're the type where, seriously, they'll be playing in the streets.
Yeah.
Nowhere. In the middle of nowhere. Just playing. You would think yeah. there's some rag fucking bum motherfuckers that are yeah. just playing. And people who know them, it's one of those things where it's the kind of shit that I like. If you know, then you know, and you stick around because you know what the fuck they are. You know that they're a big deal.
Yeah.
But those who don't give a fuck, it don't matter because they're yeah. out there just playing. And they just, that's how you get a fandom. And so that's actually really dope. And actually, one thing I wanted to mention on Kendrick, because I'm not sure, and I wanted to bring this up once we do the year ends. He does not technically have a CD in 2013.
Yeah.
So he was not allowed to be
in
the rankings of the list. Yeah. I'm not even too sure if we could bring him as an honorable mention. I didn't include him in an honorable mention, but
he will come up later on the show, though.
Okay.
He will come up later on.
One thing I will say, though, is that one thing, and actually, it should be a segment of it. He has done killer features this whole year. And that's how he has stayed relevant and has killed it.
The list, though, I was looking at the list because some interesting people on here. Looks like number one, Local Natives, like you said. Then Kendrick Lamar, Alt-J. I don't know who that is. Then Imagine Dragons.
They got a single out right now. The Pope. Oh, I'm sorry, Pope. Folk music, yo, which is my shit.
Okay.
It's making a comeback. So I need to hurry up and make my album because I'm trying to make folk hip hop and fucking the folk bands are coming in.
Fucking Papa Roach. I didn't know Papa Roach was still active.
I was going to tell you, I'm like, what the fuck are they doing on that list? And how the hell are they above One Direction?
Yeah, One Direction behind them. Willie Nelson still getting it in.
He's still in.
Malcolm Moore and Ryan Lewis. That makes a lot of sense. Justin Bieber's on the list. Miguel, I didn't know he was that active. Ellie Goulding is still doing her damn thing in Pink. Yeah,
I'm actually a little upset. You skipped over a Two Door Cinema Club. They actually there's only one single that I can think off the top of my head. It goes, something about like this. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
They're really catchy.
I know that.
They didn't make it on my list, but they're really catchy.
And the thing that's interesting, I guess Malcolm Moore. So, it's funny. It's only two rap artists that are on this list.
Oh, my God. I didn't see who was after Miguel. Two of my favorite dykes, Tegan and Sarah. Really hard in the game. I didn't know they had an album this year, so who knows? But they have a strong following.
Oh, okay.
And one thing I love about them shows, and every lesbian, dyke, femme, and butch can agree, every time that they do a show, they talk about their songs.
Oh, okay.
And if I can go off into a little rant about them, there was this song called Red Belt that was inspired by some kind of fucking karate movie with some bitch, and it was women inspiring. Shouts out to the feminists who were very strong. But they make very abstract songs that are still fucking very catchy, and unless you love them enough to really look deep into their lyrics, you'll see that they're just inspired by the world.
Yeah,
and Lord knows I want to dick them. Man can only wish, you know what I'm saying? Shouts out to Sarah.
So yeah, that's pretty dope. So yeah, shouts out to fucking Kendrick, still doing the damn thing. And that's the perfect way to do it. because his last album came out in 2012. And so you got the 2012 album, and then you spend the next year just traveling the world, keeping your name relevant, keep doing your thing. And so I'm pretty sure by fucking spring or summer or next year, he'll have a new CD out, and then just keep that rotation. And yeah, Kendrick has the motherfucking crown without a shadow of a fucking doubt right now in hip hop. So now, before we get into our personal top five albums of the year, I did want to... Before we get there, I want to Hip Hop Dx, which is my favorite hip hop website. They do an annual Turkey Awards, and we won't go into it too deep, but they give out awards to different idiots of the year. And so I want to relive some of the funniest moments within 2013. You got it queued up?
No.
Okay, the link should be in the notes. They apparently gave a Nip Tuck Award to Mr. C. So, shouts out to Mr. C. It says, suffice to say, Mr. C is going to be way more selective the next time he plays Make the Music with Your Mouth Biz or Ocknell's Put It in Your Mouth during the Throwback at Noon mix. After being called...
Was he trouble for some harassment shit?
He was the one with that got caught with the tranny.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
and yeah, we brought it up, I think, about three or four episodes ago. Yeah.
Okay.
And they say after being caught soliciting yet another male prostitute and temporarily resigning from his post at Hot 97 in September, C said he was worried about losing the respect of the streets. C couldn't even wrap his head around the concepts of bisexuality or homosexuality after admitting he liked getting top from other men. His collection of vinyl isn't the only thing that was mixed up.
Well, if you think about it, no one knows, I guess, how to satisfy a dick. And
dude, I guess. I'm not trying to defend him.
You know what's hilarious, though? Mr. C, I don't think I remember looking at a picture of him. He looked thug as fuck.
Yeah.
And you know what's really fucked up? Because I have a faggot homie, and he puts me on. He sends some nasty shit sometimes. But
yeah.
We're all hanging out, and he had shown me some kind of tape. And I guess it was, like, just some almost... thuggest, roughest motherfuckers, and they're going ham on each other. Like, dude, why the fuck do you show me this shit? And he's like, because I forgot. I can't remember what the
welcome
fuck
to my
me.
World.
Yeah, I'm like, so it kind of makes you wonder. Like, you really don't know who the hell's around you.
You
the most thug nasty next to you, and just, wow.
And that is going around in hip hop. I didn't research it, but Jazzy Faye is going through some shit right now. There's a rumor that he's fucking around with a tranny. And Chingy, for the past couple years, has been getting into shit for that. I think her name's like Sydney Starr or something like that. And she's like the hip-hop tranny. And he's been linked with her. And there's videos of her doing shows with him and all that, which doesn't necessarily mean that he's fucking her.
We're
but they
two and two together.
They are around each other. And so you don't know. But yeah, it seems to be a lot of tranny chasing going on in the hip-hop world.
Speaking of, well, I'm not too sure this will be considered tranny chasing because they have made accusations about her. But Lady Gaga, which we know damn well, she's a woman. And even if she had a dick, I think I would be tempted because she's she's one of my pale skin goddesses. And like
yeah.
I mentioned before, and I'm not sure if I ever said on the show,
yeah.
Musically, spiritually,
yeah.
Metaphorically, and physically,
yeah.
I would love to dick slap her, like I said, in the music game and the rap game and love and all that stuff. But her, I actually read something, this is early on in her career, that she fucks her bandmates. Like, because you know what happens.
Yeah.
You know, so you're traveling around.
It makes
sense,
yeah.
You don't want to just get with some random motherfucker.
Yeah.
You have your bassist has a hard dig for you. Oh, okay, we'll give him a little sum. You know what I mean? So, like, I was like, wow, like, that's nice. That's convenient. I mean, you're on the road.
I wonder if she needs an audio engineer.
Yo. I don't mind being a hype man or just a goddamn fucking roadie. You know what I'm saying?
I will carry your bags, girl.
And like your ass over.
Fucking other turkeys of the year, Lil Wayne. Did you ever see this during NBA All-Star Weekend? Lil Wayne, who I don't know if he was sipping on that scissor.
I fuck what?
He went on a rant saying that he fucked Chris Bosh's wife.
Isn't he gay?
Chris, that
rumor. It's rumor.
That's the rumor. And I hate to call out Chris. I don't know. Chris is weird because you know I follow the NBA and all that, and he is a little odd. And he does kind of come off a little feminine.
That's sweet.
So it's like, and that was the thing going back to the Jason Collins thing when Jason Collins came out the closet and everybody was saying that it didn't really change too much anything because he's a
nobody anyway.
Yeah, he's a nobody going out the door and not saying that Chris Bosh is gay. But if he were to come out the closet, that would make an impact because you're one of the top three players on the top team in the NBA, like, that could make some waves and all that, as opposed to Jason Collins, who is a nobody. He's a fucking nobody. Yeah,
you really
so.
Want to set a revolution, and this goes out, mind you, and I see a lot of, I say the word faggot and queer, things like that, but I'm just saying, like, I love, and my homies, and things like that, I'm in the mix. but really, for those who are out there, don't be scared.
Yeah.
Don't be really scared. Just, I mean, if you really proud, and I mean, you can make an impact.
Yeah.
The only ones who can make revolution are those who are empowered and who have followers. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
I say do it. Drake, Lil Wayne, just quit running and just, you know, tell how much you just love the cack.
We won't hate you but anymore.
So he's in a concert. He just straight up saying, I fuck Chris Bosh's wife.
Yeah, he like, just
why
went
would,
on.
Why would you just blurt that?
Because he was going through some
she's
shit.
She's pretty. Oh my God. I'm looking at him.
Yeah, she is fine. But he was going through some shit because apparently he was at a Miami Heat game and got kicked out of the game. Mm. And then he claims that the NBA banned him from going to any games. So during a concert, during the All-Star weekend, he decided to come out and say that it was because he fucked Chris Bosh's wife. And so they got mad and they don't want him coming up to because it's making Chris look bad or whatever. But Lil Wayne is off the chain. So yeah. Whatever. Fuck that nigga.
I think he's a closet homo too. Can I read this next one? This is hilarious.
Oh, what's the next one? I had skipped down
the next
a little
one,
bit.
The next one is the after the Chris Bosh, after the Lil Wayne thing, which I just think is fucked up in itself. I want to read this.
Yeah.
This is the We Depressed Award. DJ Khaled. And, all right, this is what I want to say. See, because I get really offended a little bit when I get my clear cut. Motherfuckers tell me I look at DJ
like
Khaled. Get the fuck out of here. Fuck y'all. And, yeah, I like to shout out random things, and I don't like to do
that. We the best.
We depressed. You know, it's funny, too. And I wanted to bring this up because I had just seen a video of I think it was a Wale. Actually, no. It was a Busta Bus.
Oh, okay.
He has some kind of a. It's called hashtag twerk, and it was featuring Nicki Minaj and what's his face is in there. Khaled's in there, looking real sad. Mm. So this makes sense. It says here, I'm pretty sure that you could tell from DJ Khaled's various selfies on Instagram, which I don't even know he was on Instagram. It makes sense though.
Yeah.
With the same pitiful looking pose that he is clearly suffering from depression. Motherfucker, maybe it's because earlier this year he proposed to Young Money, Cash, whatever the fuck label mate, Nicki Minaj. Wow, really?
Oh, you didn't see that?
No, the 10-carat, $500,000 ring, and well, nothing came out of it. Khaled later claimed that the proposal was just a joke. It's all his plans to promote for his new record. I want to be with you.
Now, I do think that it was a publicity stunt because when this popped off, a bunch of people were taking it real seriously. But I think it was a publicity stunt because that song, I Want to Be With You, was kind of like a love song or whatever. And it did have Nicki Minaj in it, and it was on his album. And so I think that he had did that for publicity because people were like, oh my God, I think he's serious. And then the song came out like a week later, and then everybody was trying to, oh, is something going on between them? And then like people were talking and a buzz was generated around the song. So I do think the nigga was trolling everybody and a bunch of people fucking fell for it.
That would be smart. That would make sense. All I know is I'm the type, and I don't know if this is the Capricorn in me, but like,
yeah,
everything I say,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
And even my excuses if my plans had foiled, I mean as well.
I still mean it, motherfucker.
I still mean, even when I'm wrong, I'm right. And even when I'm right, you know, or however the shit go, but I mean, who the fuck knows? But either which way, that would be kind of depressing.
Yeah, so whatever Khaled's going through.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip down a little. A couple of these other ones weren't really that big, but fucking.
I thought you would have hit your, I thought Chains would have been your dude, but.
Chains, yeah. Whatever. No, I'm skipping down to this. Have you seen this shit with Lord Jamar over the past year? Lord Jamar is, where is he from? Brand Nubians, is it? Lord Jamar.
Oh, yeah, Brand Nubians.
Is it Brand Nubians?
Yeah, because I remember he was on a Vlad talking bullshit. And
yes.
Brand Nubians so irrelevant now, regardless of it being a grand hip-hop stable. But he's
been going on some massive rants, and it started after Kanye did the whole what was the name of it? Or when Kanye did that show when he had the skirt on, and Lord Jamar went on to a whole thing making fun of Kanye having a skirt and talking shit and so on and so forth. And then later on, he went into another rant about not liking white people in hip hop because
saying that they're visitors.
What was it?
They're visitors.
That's what it was. Yeah. So they don't
Black House.
Yes. And which,
and this Mexican's just invited just to record and talk some shit.
We're gonna let you stand on the doormat. That's what it is. That's what
we. Because we know your feet dirty from all that manual labor.
We saw you outside of Home Depot. So.
But yeah, it was like, I get what he was saying, because when hip hop first started, it was that. But it's a fucking, it's a global phenomenon now. It's silly to say that it's just a black thing. It by far isn't. And I've mentioned that before. It's 100% owned by white people. It's 60% purchased by
Jews
white people.
Run this motherfucker.
Yeah, it's, yeah. So, and then he went on another rant about Malcolm Moore saying he was pushing the gay agenda. And, yeah, he's just been known for the rants. And I think that he's doing it to try to become relevant again. But he's also rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. And so every other couple months you get specked a rant from Lord Jamar. And either way, we still don't give a fuck about you.
And I don't know how this, and I understand when it comes to, especially in the media, you get a hot story, you're going to take something that somebody said, and you're going to run with it. That's going to be the title. That's going to be what people are going to click on, and people will want to see what's going on. People, other people are going to comment. It's going to be like an avalanche of shit.
Yeah.
But honestly, who the fuck is he to say anything? Your time has passed. Unless you're trying to reinvent yourself like Juicy J and come back in the game, then don't do it with that. I think people can give a fuck about race. And one of my favorite things they had then asked, it was a quick little 30-second spot they asked Schoolboy Q. Because obviously Macklemore was one of the main people that Lord Jamar was talking shit about, saying to white people in the game. And Schoolboy Q, being one of the homies of his, says, I'm a that nigga ignorant as fuck.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And, you know, he left it alone. One thing I'm laughing at, and I had to go back up top of the list.
Yeah.
And I don't watch the show too much, but because my kid says when she gets me to watch something, just kind of like when your girl tells you to do something, you got to do it.
Yeah.
If she wants me to watch something, I got to watch it. Perfect guilty pleasure, whether it's Keeping Up the Kardashians, and a lot of it is Catfish.
Yeah,
I'd actually seen, because I guess
did you see that episode?
They call it the Keep It Lambskin Award, where Little Bow Wow shines actual Catfish Doppelganger. I'm not too sure how much would they comment on this here, but it was hilarious because there's this girl who was getting gifts from apparently Bow Wow.
Yeah,
Bow Wow had a page on Facebook, and then it moved to a private one. You know how as soon as, this is the way it works, whether you're on Instagram or something like that, you go from the social media thing to Facebook, where you can send a message, and then you get the phone number. So you get the phone number, it's on, and it's good, and shit happens. Well, apparently this bitch had got presents, had gotten like a couple, like $20,000. I don't know if it says it on here or not, but it was a large sum of money. And then she got on the show to figure out, because you figure what better place to find out who the fuck this guy is, and someone who's been on the show, someone's familiar and whatever. And it turns out they were just some dyke, some real ugly butch bitch that looked like Bow Wow.
That's
like
crazy.
And she straight up was one of them, you know, saying, I'm a future rapper, I'm gonna be this, I'm gonna be that. Turns out she was borrowing money from her fucking friends to send to this bitch.
Because I remember hearing about it, but I didn't watch it. My girl used to be big on Catfish season one. We used to watch it. And then it was one of those things where, like, kind of the first season I was into it, watching it. And then once the second season popped up, it just, I was like, I don't care anymore. Yeah. So I didn't keep up with it this year.
So. Some of it's dumb. Some of it's really hilarious, though. I like when I like something, I like something.
Yeah.
Similar to the Drake thing.
Yeah.
I can't stand the motherfucker. I don't like him.
Yeah.
But when he has something hot, I can't deny it. And I'll say
exactly.
And I'll
And so actually, speaking of that, I think let's go ahead and go into our list for the year. It was nothing else in there that was really too
What was up with the Eminem and Drake shit?
I think it was just them. Album. I think they were just talking about both of them coming back. You said or not on Diaz Payola.
And then I saw that, whatchamacallit, I'm laughing at this Rick Ross picture with his titties on him.
look at my titties.
But I saw something about, I was looking at videos earlier, and I never look at music videos, I was looking at music videos earlier, and I saw a little screen cap of Eminem and Rap God. I think he was in a suit.
Oh,
just something weird. I'm like, oh, I felt like, man, I don't want to look at you right now.
The video was all right.
I did
watch the video. That suit part was just like the intro, because, you know, it's kind of the talking, like, at the beginning. But, like, the whole video, it's like, he's like a machine that they're building. And then it's some parts where he's in like some type of like warehouse, and it's a bunch of cats like surrounding him, and he's rapping like it's a cipher and all that. And then there's a couple other parts where he's like walking on water and all that, going back to the reference of him being a rap god. And oh, did the film stop? Oh, it's all good. It's all good. Give him a little sneak peek. So yeah, the video was cool, and because I thought that the whole video was be him in that business suit doing some silly stuff, but no, it was a cool video, and you know that. And I give it to fucking M. That was a phenomenal ass fucking record. That he murdered that, and actually we could that's gonna come up more. Let's
I'm still tripping off this list. What's up with this Deeper Than Rap Awards? I'm looking at, I'm still looking at Ross's titties.
Making fun of what all did Ross do? He narrowly escaped a barrage of bullets earlier this year when he got into it with the Gangsta Disciples. The rape lyric shit from You Don't Even Know. And his apology, shit. All that shit, yeah.
You know what? I'm laughing at this. This is called the I'm Sitting Alone at Lunch Because I Sunned All My Friends Award for Kendrick. Seriously, and we actually just, did you mention the show? Were you telling me off air?
No, I was telling you off air, yeah. J. Cole and Kendrick was supposed to be putting a group album together called Cold War. And I think they had finished it, if I'm not mistaken, last year. But they were pushing it back because Kendrick had dropped his Good Kid, Mad City, and then J. Cole was working on his Born Sinner, and then their group CD was supposed to come together after that, but then Kendrick did that Control verse and hurt a lot of niggas' feelings.
Hated him.
And apparently, yeah, the CD is off. I guess Cole caught feelings, and he don't want to put the CD out. He taking his ball going back home, so.
And hey, why are you gonna be like that's a fucking yo, verse yo.
Fucking hip-hop, and actually it's even I wouldn't even say just hip-hop, just artists in general are so fucking sensitive, so they're fucking sensitive, they're fragile, and that is part of, I do get it, especially me, and I mean both of us, we've made music and put music out, and yeah, and you, once you put a lot of time and work into something, you kind of do catch feelings when it's kind of taken a certain way, or when it's not being, like, when you do something, you put something out in a certain, you put something out and it's taken the wrong way, or if you put like a lot of work into something and it's not appreciated, then yeah, it happens. But
like when I make a bitch a mixtape and she don't get the concepts and the songs,
exactly,
how they go together and they tell
like,
a story,
like,
how don't you get it? How don't you get it?
It's kind of like that. And so like just niggas got real sensitive over that shit, and niggas was getting mad that they got mentioned. Other cats got mad because they didn't get mentioned. It just like, it was fucking silly.
Everyone caught the feels. Everybody was listening to Drake and just got really emotional.
And that's what it is. I blame Drake. Drake done made everybody so motherfucking sensitive. You listen to some Drake shit, and the next thing you know, you calling your ex back, your best friend don't tag you in a post, and now you mad at the nigga. And I blame Drake. It's all Drake's fault.
Oh my goodness. This is actually a really good fucking list, yo.
Yeah.
We should have stole all this for the fucking show, because it's true.
And then, yeah, they gave the 14 minutes and 57 seconds award.
It's normally, was it 15 minutes of fame?
15 minutes of fame.
They deducted that motherfucker 3 seconds, I told them.
To Trinidad James, Trinidad James pissed a lot of niggas off, and I think it's fucking silly. Like, we talked about it a couple episodes ago.
Do people just not know that he's a character?
He's a character. And he's admitted it. Like, and that's the one thing, like I said, that I'm really fascinated about Trinidad James, because he's not a good rapper at all. But he's aware that he's not a good rapper, and he says it all the fucking time. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing this to impress anybody. I'm doing this to feed my fucking family. Like, so I'm not trying to change the world. So if you're looking for me to change the world, don't listen to my shit.
The thing is, too, and actually, I didn't listen to it, but I even saw that T.I. was speaking to somebody. I forget if it was Vlad or Hard Knocks or something. I just saw a screen cap of it, and it said, Trinidad James doesn't speak for all of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that's happening, I was going to ask about that, but the thing that's happening is people are getting upset because they commit so much to their character, a.k.a. 2 Chainz, and everyone else. Understand, hip-hop is kind of like a bitch in the streets is talking. They all fake. It's just fake.
I've said this 1,000 times. Hip-hop and the WWE, there's no difference.
Yo, yeah.
There's no difference, because being a professional wrestling fan growing up on it, you have characters, and the characters that especially get over, the Stone Colds, the Rocks, the Diets, all these different guys, they're characters, but they're just kind of taking who they really are and they're turning it up 1,000. And so that's kind of the same thing with a lot of the different rap artists, like the Jay-Z's and the Kanye West. The reason why they got to where they're at, because that's in them. Like, you watch an interview with Jay-Z. Jay-Z is very soft-spoken. When he speaks in interviews, he sounds very insecure.
Yeah.
But his character, the character of Jay-Z, is him turning it up 1,000.
Real bravado.
And he's real bravado because he's making up for how insecure he is in real life. And then you have other cats like Trinidad James, who they're complete characters and all that. And this whole hip hop world is fake. And it's just like professional wrestling. There's no difference. And there's the whole blending fantasy with reality and finding something in the middle. And that's all it fucking is.
Like, obviously, they can perform. Obviously, they're in shape, and they do what they do.
Yeah.
But it's to entertain.
It's all to entertain. Because even, and that's what drives me nuts when I talk to people who don't follow hip-hop at all, and they kind of take it a little too literal, and it's like people who are within the hip-hop world are aware of how many of these cats aren't as gangsta as they pretend to be. Like, you know that. We all know Rick Ross didn't fucking sell those bricks or nothing like that. We fucking know
that. We know he was a CO.
Yeah, like, we know these things, and it's characters. They're selling fucking characters. It's product placement. It's characters. It's a fucking 250 day a year on the road traveling thing. It's the same as WWE. So,
exactly. And I thought that was, so I laugh when people get really upset about that. And one of the last awards, and it goes to, I guess, one of the greats, and definitely my fuck you of the day earlier. Yeah, what's up with the reverse puberty award?
Oh, they were making fun of his voice when he was on
Kanye
Chris.
Was on the Kris Jenner show,
yeah,
the Chris Kardashian show. Since they divorced now, she's with some 25-35 year old
getting it in. He beating those.
I'm pretty sure he's beating the cobwebs off that pole.
But yeah, Kanye during that interview, his voice got like real high pitched. Like, he's really talking like kind of like Michael Jackson throughout that interview. Yo. And I did not get it.
And I think, I don't know if we commented or we talked about this before when he was doing the show. This was a straight up, like, kind of like a snuff film. Like, it was totally like, it was, I owe this favor, part of the family, I'm on contract, I'm needed to make this appearance because I haven't spoke about this before. So I got to be on here and I'm going to. You know, you going with me.
And that was Chris's last episode, because she had only got signed up kind of like a pilot, if you will. Yeah, it kind of hit hard that time. And she had only got 6 shows. Like, they didn't sign her up for like multiple years. They only gave her like 6 episodes. And so she put Kanye at the end, and she was trying to use that to get some publicity to get an actual.
How many views I get now?
Yeah, and it didn't work. The show got canceled. It's not coming back for another season. Yeah,
I caught an episode.
She's so fucking. They're so fucking put on. So put on. But
I still hit it though.
Well, yeah, she can still get it.
Give me some money. Speaking of which, okay,
Say, speaking of pro wrestling, I had mentioned that before. Fucking China, who I used to have a crush on, I don't give a fuck. She looks just like one of them. Armenian.
Like a beefed up Chloe.
She looks like Chloe. She looks like she could be a member of their family.
Chloe's my favorite. And I'll put this out to you, Chloe. And I love how dedicated you are to Lamar. But if all this crack shit isn't popping off, just know that I will love you.
Yeah,
I will caress every big old inch of you. No, but I feel sucked into their world and their environment because, especially me having that baby fever. Like, she ain't had a kid, and I think out of all of them, she'd be the best mom. Not only can she be real freaky and she does, you know, little nighttime talk shows, but she is. Fucking all woman, yo. Like, damn. Like, even though she gets, you know, even though she's actually been rumored to be a tranny because of how, you know what I'm saying, studly she is or whatever like that. That's a fucking woman. That's all woman.
That's all woman.
Yeah, but I was laughing about when I made the little comment about Kris Jenner, and I scroll down and there's that We Want Prenup award.
Yeah.
And I wondered, did you think he got that signed? Because he himself said it when he did Gold Digger. I mean,
he said it. I really hope so, because, and no offense to, like, Kim, this is her third marriage. So she has a history of marriages not working. Because she got married when she was, like, young, like 18, 19 or something like that.
Remember the basketball player.
And then the basketball player, which lasted, like, 43 days or something like that. Now this, I hope he protected himself. So I'm not saying that she's a Gold Digger and she's out to get his money. Because she's fucking self-made her damn self. But just protect yourself. Like, these niggas just, they lay up with
Because we see how hungry Chris is. And my chick's like, I watch the show. And I see how this bitch is about appearances and shows. And they get money to go to a fucking party. They don't go out just because they like to get toe up and shit. They go because they're getting paid. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous. But, I mean, I'm sure. I mean, unless he was just that caught up in the post. that he wasn't thinking.
I would imagine. Because them having a kid that quick, that nigga did not attempt to put a rubber on.
No, well, as it would go for most of us, I'm pretty sure we would have shot in there right away. This is my meal ticket. This is as good as getting Oprah pregnant, you would hope. Shout out to Dave Chappelle.
So let's go ahead and talk some hip-hop albums. Once again, this is our year-end review album. And I must say, first off, to start this out, there's a lot of solid hip-hop albums this year. This was a good year, I think, for hip-hop.
How much time are we in right now?
I don't even know. Let me hop over here. We're good.
That way I can make a note of it so that for those who didn't want to sit through the other shit and they just want to get to their reviews,
we can let them know. We're like an hour or so into it.
Okay.
So they can hit the fast. They could fast forward through it. That's the beauty of technology.
And that was laughing when my buddy told me, and I didn't ask him. I'm like, what alias can I give you? Because I wanted to shout him out, and he asked not to be named. And actually, I had a really funny story about a fucking company party, but I fucking won't even mention it. But anyways, he's the guy who told me about the, you know, he wanted to get straight to the main juice of the show.
Yeah.
And I'm like, motherfucker, like, you can't skip? Like, you can't move your, you know?
See, and that's my thing, too, with podcasting. Like, that's the whole thing. Like, we do a 2 to 3 hour show. We got a lot of shit to talk about, and if you don't like a certain thing, skip for it. Or if the show is too long, don't listen to it. Like, whatever. Like, whatever.
I want to be heard, but yeah, you know, I mean, it's technology makes it easier for us to where you don't have to sit through something. I mean, isn't that what we got, TiVo?
And actually, shouts out to anybody who has an Android phone. Subscribe, like, my Android app that I use to get all my podcasts is Beyond Pod. And you load up your RSS feed and the thing, and then you could listen to your podcast. And that's Popo again messing with his
mic
stand.
This shit,
yeah.
How old is this motherfucker?
That motherfucker is sliding. Ooh. But the Beyond Pod app, I really like.
Too heavy.
Because you could throw the RSS feed in there, and then you download the podcast to your phone, and then you got the fast forward, the skip options. You could save it on your phone and all that. Because I got like 20 something fucking podcasts that I follow, and so depending on one week, I may feel like just laughing all week, and so I'll listen to nothing but some Black Guy Who Tips and some PW Torch East Coast Cast and all that to get my laughter from. Sometimes I feel like, oh, you good. Sometimes I feel like learning some new shit or whatnot, so I'll only fuck with Joe Rogan if he got some good guests on there, and so on and so forth. And so just depending on the mood. And so Beyond Pod is a real good phone app to listen to this shit from your phone. And then, like I said, pick and choose and do your motherfucking
thing. I've been wanting
to
get on this because I got to hear how motherfuckers be on this. So I want, but I just one of those, like, I don't want to sit and listen to motherfuckers. But I don't know. I'll do some research. But if y'all can stand and sit through this, well, then God bless you. So we get into the top five?
So yeah, let's get into, we're going to talk some albums of the year. I know you had a list of singles that you wanted to bring up, some top singles, I guess, from this year, and then I'll just piggyback off of that.
Well, I almost wanted to leave that for the end, just because it wasn't those that it was undeserving, but actually, fuck it, we'll do it.
Yeah.
Now, all right, so these things, and I'm trying to see, did I take her off my top list? I'm trying to think. All right. Well, I guess we'll go into the top five later, but all right, as far as singles go, albums I'm not even too sure. Most motherfuckers made money this year, really. I actually found out that Justin Timberlake had the highest selling album, which surprised me because honestly, and I'm a JT fan, and I will admit it, I kind of started hating, I don't know if it's coincidental that I started hating him once he did the song with Jay-Z, even though I love Sue and Ty.
All the signs point towards
that. Dude, I don't know what it is. Just everything Jay-Z touches, I just fucking hate.
Oh, fuck that.
Fuck that. Beyonce used to be thick and beautiful. Oh, fuck you. Brothers go hard for you, but I can't stand your ass. I don't know if this is the Jay-Z thing. But he had the most top-selling album. And honestly, the 2020 experience was one of the shittiest things I've ever heard.
The first one
I fucked with because it had Sue and Ty, and I admit, I really loved it. Then he had the part two that I couldn't stand a goddamn song of that motherfucker. Yeah. But hey, it's a top-selling, and hey, he's white, and hey. You know, I love Timberland production, but I can't. I didn't fuck with the album.
That CD didn't gravitate, because you know me, I'm not that big of an R&B person. And
R&B to me, to be honest with you. And you know what? And if I can go to another thing, this is the reason why I kind of hated on him a little bit. is I hate the fact that, to me, this motherfucker, because his style switched up a little bit, big difference from Future Love Sounds.
Yeah.
Now, I feel like he piggybacked off Robin Thicke.
Yeah.
And Robin Thicke is one of my favorite R&B artists.
Yeah.
So, which, by the way, shout out to him because he's doing, I forget, he's doing a cover of a song, and it's going to be with a main song on Anchorman 2, and I'm a big Anchorman fan, not only just because of Will Ferrell, but Judd Apatow, one of my favorite Jew producer, writer, directors.
Yeah, yeah.
He's behind that motherfucker. But back to the singles. Single-wise, goes out to, I think the number one single-wise goes out to Drake. I Hate the Man.
Yeah.
Pretty motherfucker. and I hated the album.
Team Light Skin.
Team Light Skin. And but he really had the singles that he has.
Yeah.
The songs that I liked are just enough for singles. As far as the album put together, I didn't like it. But the singles that he has lined up,
that's my singles.
It's hot as shit. That's what's gonna sell. Shit album, but hot singles is gonna sell. Hopefully, or at least keep it relevant. So that goes for that. Do you want to go back and forth?
I didn't pick any singles, so I'll just piggyback off of what you said. Yeah.
So for instance, The Worst Behavior, Language. And Come Through. And then, of course, people like the Hold On.
That was a big single.
His first technical single was Wu-Tang, but whatever. No, but they're hot shit, and those are actually good. There's a reason why he picked those shits to promote, because he knows what's shit and what isn't shit.
Yeah.
So that, Busta Rhymes, I don't know if he has an album, but he actually, and I kind of wanted to show you, there's about three songs that I just heard today that I was like, what the fuck? He's been doing shit.
I didn't even know he had something new out.
Because last year he had signed to whatever the fuck Young Money shit is.
He had signed to him.
It was a big deal. And he actually looks really funny now because he's like oddly shaped. Like he looks buff, but then he doesn't look buff.
he's old man buff. That's what it is.
Old man buff, I guess. And, I'm trying to bring it up here. I can't see because of the fucking glare. One was Why Stop Now. Yeah, might as well hit the lights because video went off. Why Stop Now with Chris Brown, which wasn't a big thing, but I guess this came after the hype of that one song that they did together where Chris Brown tried rapping, where he's like, I'm done, or whatever the fuck. Haley, I'm forgetting it. This was a big song last year.
That was huge last year. I'm getting paper.
Yeah.
Look at me now.
Yeah. All right. There we go. So I guess it was trying to piggyback off of that. So he was rapping, Chris looked like he was fucking being getting exorcist shit. It was weird. But Busta Rhymes was coming on like a hot flow, whatever that. And then he did some song with Nicki Minaj called Hashtag Twerk, which was cool because Nicki Minaj, who I'm not a big fan of, I don't really like her socks, she reminds me of an ex, but she has a, you know, really, she's meant to twerk. She has a whole lot of fat. And then some song called, that I did like. It was crazy weird, actually. And I'm gonna have to show it to you afterwards if you don't mind watching it.
Yeah.
It's featuring Q-Tip.
Okay.
So, and it sounds like, and I don't know if you knew this, but Q-Tip is actually signed under Good Music as a producer. Not as an artist, as a producer.
As a producer, yes.
And what's really fucked up is I think this is, he's realizing that people aren't digging the shit that he's putting out.
Yeah.
So he needs big name artists to pitch a single. So this whole song is just Busta Bus and Q-Tip, which is beautiful because it sounds very boom bappy. It sounds, it reminded me of hip hop, which was really dope. But you need two major pushers. So for some reason it says featuring Lil Wayne, featuring Kanye West. All they're doing is in the background dancing. But it says featuring, which I'm hoping gets some likes, which I'm hoping inspires motherfucker to get some attention, so hopefully he can finally release an album. But it was actually a really dope song, and I was like, this is what I wanted, this is what I liked. So single wise, I wanted to put him out there because I was surprised, like, why the fuck don't you have an album out? You know what I'm saying? Because he really, you could tell he was trying when he did the previous singles, and it was retarded. For Busta Bus was part of that. Another one, I'm not too sure you hear this group because they're actually on the radio. Their name is Passenger.
No, they're kind of heard of them.
One of the biggest songs, Love Them When They're Gone.
I don't think I heard that.
It's on the radio right now, and it takes a while. I don't know, and that's why I hate it by Arizona. Yeah. I love Arizona because I'm from here, you know, love the state, want to put us on the map. But we slow as fuck when it comes to songs. And now all of a sudden, 6 months later.
Yeah, Arizona does not break anything. Once something gets hot somewhere else, then it'll come up over here. And I remember when I was like 18, 19, the last time I went to Vegas, I remember I used to be big on listening to the radio back then, kid.
Yeah.
And you know, you get tired of the same songs coming on the radio. And I remember we went out to Vegas. and listening to the radio while we're out in Vegas, and they were playing a whole bunch of stuff that wasn't playing on the radio out here. I'm like, oh, this is dope. They playing, you know, completely different music. Then, kid you not, like 3-4 months later, that same exact playlist in Vegas came on out here, and I was like, oh, we're just that fucking far behind.
What it is we're going off of album and single sales.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you knew this, one of the bigger, the 101 point something, they're actually owned by Interscope.
That would make sense.
That would make sense. And yeah, it upsets me because we truly are going, we're doing pay to play sort of shit. We're not breaking waves. We're not breaking any artists. We're pay to play.
Yeah.
And it's frowned upon. They say that it's illegal, but
pay Olo.
But it happens. And I think that's what makes it really bad. And that's what motherfuckers really hate on us, because we seem like we're slow and we're dumb.
Yeah.
Shouts out to Sheriff.
And that's why, once again, we don't have any artists that are blowing up out of here, because you need your own state to put you on the map. And if your state is that far behind and you need to get hot somewhere else, that's the reason why a hip-hop artist will not blow up out of Arizona unless they go somewhere else, blow up over there, and stay out there for a while. Then Arizona will pick up on it.
Are we going to blow up in the East Coast before we ever get love down here? I hope not, but that's what it seemed like. All right, so then next person who actually I'm not gonna mention what part of the top she's in, Miley Cyrus.
Miley
Team Milers, or fuck, team, I don't even know what the fuck to call it, but yeah, her album actually very hot, and as ignorant, as retarded as it is, she has precise singles.
Yes.
Hits you with the club banger,
yeah,
to get all them hoes all worked up. Hits you with the wrecking ball to show you that hurt hoes hurt too. And then I don't know what her next single is going to be, but like I said, it was one of the two that I showed you. Either Love Money Party or whatever, or the Doing My Thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So one of those. This shit was calculated. This shit wasn't an accident. This wasn't some artistic expression. No. This was a, hey, this works. This formula bangs. Get one of the hardest in the game to produce it for you. Get one of the prettiest white bitches in the game to sing and dance.
And we going to get some money.
We going to do this. So that was my, as far as singles go.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. And yeah, I didn't have any singles, but I will say I got some honorable mentions. Let me get my little notes out. I will first off start this.
I'm gonna piggyback after you guys.
Piggyback. Okay. So my honorable mentions, and there was a lot of good CDs that came out this year. I will say Action Bronson Sob Stories. I finally got to listen to it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've been sleeping on dude. So yeah, Action Bronson has caught my attention. I'm gonna stop sleeping on a dude. I'm gonna fucks with him.
He's had quite a few. I think he had two come out this year.
Yeah, because he had Sob Story and Blue Chips too. And so I haven't checked that one out yet. But Sob Stories, I really like the Harry Fraud production. Mm-hmm. I like his vocals over that production style. So yeah, you got my attention. So I'm gonna fucks with you now.
What I want to say about Action Bronson, him also being part of my honorable mentions, the fact that he is more than just a motherfucker that sounds like Ghostface Killah.
Yeah.
He's more than that, but the fact that he hasn't really shown any more than that, I think is what keeps him slept on.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He needs to, he showed that he could spit. Now we need to know who are you? You need to establish who you are, and then that's what will catch people's attention and take you to the next level. Yeah. So
quit fucking on Riff Raff. Get with somebody who's going to make you seem serious, because you serious. You say some serious shit.
Exactly. And then another honorable mention is ASAP Rocky. Mm. I got to listen to the CD again.
Was that this year?
That was this year. Okay. Yeah, that was towards the beat. That was like one of the first hip-hop CDs that came out this year. Live Long ASAP.
Okay.
And when the CD first came out, I wasn't really too big of a ASAP crew fan. Like, I didn't get it. But after some time has passed, I've become fans of their stuff. And I've gone back and I listened to the CD again. That was actually a pretty good CD. Now, I wish he would. He tried. For one, the CD was too long. Mm-hmm. But, and two, I felt that he tried to do too much production wise towards the end. Like, the production kind of went. Like, I like that.
I feel like it blended in too much. Like, I feel like that. Because they have a really good. One of the things I appreciated about ASAP shit is that the beats are very simple. And so they're catchy. But they blend in too much together. So like, am I listening to the same fucking song? The cook sounds a little different.
Yeah. Because he had some shit towards the end. I'm trying to think. Like the Wild for the Night song. And it was just a couple of songs towards the end that I don't like his style over that. I like him when he has that synthy, dark kind of boom bap music behind him, and he's just kind of laid back, just rapping. Like, that's the shit that Pretty Flacco goes hard on. But it was like, I didn't like the beat selection towards the end. Like, the first half of the CD I thought was solid. And the second half of the CD, I liked the song that he had all those features on. He had a bunch of people all on one song.
The new one is Long Live ASAP, right?
Yes, that's the new one.
Okay. The only ones that I kept on that was Fucking Problems,
yeah,
Jody, and Angels.
Yeah.
I guess I deleted everything else.
But yeah, I liked, like, the first four songs were pretty hot. I didn't like the Santa Gold record. The one
I thought it was a waste of Santa Gold because she was really high. She was actually, no one's really fucked with her too much, and she is perfect for a hook.
Yeah.
Kanye, I think, used her once, did a really dope job.
Jay used her once. I didn't like how Jay used her for Hello Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like how he used
her. All she bitch was doing was screaming. She was screaming. That one train, I thought ASAP had one of the better verses.
Yeah.
Kendrick, of course, came with it. Action was on there. He kind of was sleepy on it.
Yeah.
It was
just Joey Badass. I really didn't like his verse on there either.
And then I think Yellow Wolf was even in there too, just trying to make a hype for white people. I'm like, dude, we know that you're sick. You don't got to say that you're white. We know you're white.
And so,
sound like an Alabama boy. We know. We know this.
And a couple other honorable mentions. I got Danny Brown on there, old. Uh-huh. I got him as an honorable mention. Okay. I finally got to listen to the whole CD, and it was a lot better than I gave it credit for the first time. That was a pretty solid CD. And go ahead.
I was going to say, because he's also, Danny Brown's also one of my honorable mentions.
Okay.
I didn't like the album. I liked how he, because he definitely went to try to appease everybody.
Yeah.
And I feel like, don't do that.
Exactly.
Don't give in to motherfuckers saying they want the old Danny Brown.
Just do you.
Because you're not the old Danny Brown.
Yeah.
If they want old Danny Brown, let him go back to your old shit. Like, don't let that shit stop you, because I want ignorant as fuck turned up. I want to see your motherfucking gap between your teeth, Danny Brown. That's the Danny Brown I love.
Exactly. Yeah, I think he was trying. He did the whole
great album, though. Great album.
It was great. Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out.
But I feel like I made a post. I think I put something on Facebook saying I need to watch what I say, or I need to filter myself.
Yeah.
And Cha actually, she chimed in saying, "I have never known you to filter yourself." And I'm like, "No, that was me filtering." They're like, "Oh God!" But seriously though, if you have something, like, you can't, don't hold back. Don't ever hold back.
Just do you. So, and then two other honorable mentions, two big name artists that did not make my top five, but I'll go ahead and give them an honorable mention. The first one is Yeezus. Yeah, Yeezus fell out of my top five, and I can't remember on our pilot episode, we reviewed all of them, and I want to say I gave that, like, the number two or something like that.
Put Jay over him, of course. Because when a real nigga hold you down, you're supposed to drown.
You're supposed to drown. And I still like the CD, but as I was getting ready, prepping the past couple of weeks, listening to some of the albums for the past year, I had no urge to re-listen to it. Like, it was like, if it comes up on shuffle on my CD, I'll listen to it, but I had no urge to re-listen to it. So, and then my last honorable mention, which might be a surprise to people who know me, is Eminem. The Marshall Mathers LP was not in my top five
this
year.
Marshall Mathers LP 2.
Marshall Mathers LP 2. It was a solid album. It was Eminem spitting like he always spits. It was a good CD, but it's just, I've heard him say all this stuff before. It was nothing new. Like, you didn't break new ground with what you were doing. So, solid CD. I think it was towards his middle ground of the work that he's done, but he didn't impress me. You didn't do anything new on this CD, so you dropped out of my top five. So, that's my honorable mentions.
M didn't make a goddamn list, but I will finish off though with saying I have two. I mean, I guess I don't know if they're both underground or not.
Yeah.
Lastly, because we pretty much are on point with it with Action and Danny. Drake was on there, but I already mentioned what I liked about Drake. It was just the singles. That's all he's good for. Rich Homie Quan.
Okay,
I wasn't, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if he has an album. I've only got, there's two shit that I downloaded from Dat Piff. One I know for sure is from this year. He sounds, well, the whole gripe about him, he sounds like a Future with no auto-tune. The reason I say he sounds like Future with no auto-tune is because I heard about Future first. Apparently, dude's been rapping like this, got locked up, all of a sudden Future's famous, and then, so this guy comes in, they ask him, you know, why do you sound like this guy? He says, hey, I've been sounding like this, you know, and I don't know. He sounds kind of dope. I just don't, and he's very, and I'm kind of working in the, I'm working in some collection shit now, so it's very money motivated. Yeah. Motherfuckers, get your cream, get your guap. And he's one of those guys who, and I hate motherfuckers who boast about money because something I ain't got. but he's, when you listen to him though, you feel inspired.
Yeah.
Like I listen to him and Meek Mills when I fucking, when I feel real grimy and I want to get on my shit.
Yeah.
I want to put numbers on the board like Pusha T say. So I kind of don't like that shit, but he sounds really dope. He doesn't sound ignorant. When he does sound ignorant, he says it in a smart way.
Okay.
So I like that. So he's on the honorable mentions because I can't even tell what's what from his shit. But everything bangs, and he sounds good. And apparently, supposedly, there's no auto-tune, so I respect him for being singing and not needing a proper pitch correction. But who knows? And then Tech Nine is as an honorable mention.
And I hate to say it, I still didn't listen to the CD. So that's my bad. It's two CDs that came out this year that I wanted to give a review for this list that I didn't get a chance to get around to. One was the Tech N9ne CD. And so if I get a chance to listen to it by the time we do our next show, maybe I'll bring it up.
What was the other one?
And the other one was Hobson's Knock Madness came out. And I picked up the CD. I'm a fan of Hobson. I wanted to give him a chance, but I didn't have time to get around to it. So those two, sorry, maybe next year I'll get to them.
What was that line that that he said about Kendrick in that one single?
Hobson, he had the record Hobson back. I forgot exactly how he had put it, but he kind of threw a shot at Kendrick since he was saying that Kendrick raised the bar, but he was like, that doesn't matter because you're only 4 feet tall. And so Hobson is, he's spitting, he's coming at some cats, and I'm hearing that the CD was pretty good. I'm hearing if you're a fan of Hobson and what he does, that it is pretty good.
Like, you feel like Black Eminem's?
Yeah, he's Black Eminem. That's exactly what Hobson is. He's Black Eminem in 1997-98. So if you're a fan of M during
that period,
that's what Hobson does. And so I've been sleeping on the kid, and I'll give it a listen, you know, but just I was pressed for time this past week. So,
yo, and then you made the shit on the rush. I'm like, I just got to throw some shit together.
I know. Yeah, we kind of push this up. We normally do it every other week.
You don't want to spend time with me on the holidays, I guess. You got a family. I'm going to let you pass. Okay. I just have a nice white woman and some kids. Okay.
But I get it.
But Tech N9ne, though, shouts out to Tech N9ne. Said he was honorable mention on here. And I'm going to see if I can try to pull up the album so I can see which songs I actually liked. But he has a long fucking album. 26
it was like
songs.
Oh, damn. Yeah. I didn't know it was that long.
I mean, but some of them are skits. So, I mean, you take the skits out the way, which I didn't like anyway. But one thing, if you're from, I guess he's from Kansas.
Yeah.
If you're from his part of town, I'm sure it's a great album because he actually has features of an actual broadcaster who's the famous whatever the fuck anchorman in the state, which I wish I had Kerry Lake. And there's some people here in town on RNBC.
Caribe Divine.
And who?
Caribe Divine.
There's a Divine on the radio station. She's what TV channel is she on?
Caribe Divine is our weather person for Channel 12 News.
Yo, okay.
Oh, my God.
Check us out. Like I said, this is talk radio. What used to be Power 92 is now 92 KU... Not KUPD. It's KTAR, which
KTAR,
is the news station.
Yeah.
And they have features of people from ABC and people from NBC. And then apparently, but it's a CBS-owned station, which is fucking weird. I mean, it's all mixing together. It's a monopoly. But if I was, you know, be able to make a you know, Arizona album, I'd want to have, you know, my
Super Snake and
I don't know about that motherfucker. I mean, which way? No, love. I want to show
love
and have someone who's famous so that you can show whatever. So he does that. He definitely does that. But there's a lot of songs on here, and it's great. And the album's called Something Else. It's really great that he tries something different. It's called Something Different. But the fact is, I've been on rock. I fuck with folk music, motherfucker. Like, this is something else for the black community.
Yeah.
But, which is why I liked it, because there's some songs like Straight Out the Gates, which I think is the one that has a dude from, what the hell's his name? Surge from fucking System of the Down, which I thought was really dope. Or not that song. But he has, like, so he had different features. And then Love to Dislike Me. He had a really dope song called Fragile with Kendrick Lamar, which I think is one of the most top songs in the album.
Yeah.
He has another song called, with my other favorite, my favorite fucking song actually, and it was due to, shouts out to our girl Snow the Product, because she's on the song called So Dope, And he, this is Tech CD, so he holds it down. But out of the other three features in that motherfucker,
she gave it to that
record. The product, and she was the last feature on it. And who the fuck wouldn't want to fuck something so dope? And she is what she is. And yeah, so she held it really down. There's a song called Colorado, which is a weed smoking anthem. And then there was a track here called Colorado. Well, actually, that was a weed smoking anthem. There's a song with Danny Brown. I love me some Danny Brown. He's like, so like I said, he had a few good tracks, but when you have 4 out of 26 songs that I like, I mean, come on, that's not gonna be a banger. So that was my honorable mentions.
Yes, sir.
So we move into the top 5 or what?
So yeah, let's go ahead and hit our top 5 albums of the year. Who's gonna start?
I was just done talking. I mean,
okay. I'll
or should we go last one for last one? How about that? So
yeah, we'll go back and forth.
You go 5. I go 5.
Okay. So now for my top 5 list, coming in at number 5, I gotta give it to the homie. Popo taking phone calls in the middle of the episode. Nobody doesn't like a text. No, I'm fucking with you.
Some motherfuckers don't like to text, and I respect that.
Yeah. My number 5, I gotta give it to the homie Big Crit for his mixtape King Remembered in Time.
Oh, so it wasn't even Crit. Big Crit was here.
It was his his mixtape. So it was a solo mixtape, and Big Crit, for people who don't know of this cat, he's a down south cat. I don't know exactly where he's from.
A-list producers.
Yes,
I think he's from Tennessee.
Okay, let me see. Oh, no. I was trying to see if it said. Let me see. I'm going to click on. I'm on Wikipedia. Let me see if it says where he's from. Oh, he's from Mississippi.
Oh, I was whole wrong. Oh, now I remember, because I remember there was a big translation with the. What the fuck's his name? How am I forgetting his name? He had the song, the CD play. That was the last song was play. David Banner.
Oh, Banner. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Big Crit, to me, it's kind of like a hybrid of like Killer Mike and like David Banner. He's somewhere in there. And the dude's like
conscious but southern.
Yeah, he's conscious but southern. I was really impressed with the mixtape. It was very soulful. And like, what's dope about Big Crit is he, of course, writes all his stuff. He produces all of his stuff, and he engineers all of his stuff. Like everything, he's doing it himself. And like, the album was real soulful. He, you know, got some records where you can get ignorant with. He had some soulful shit. I was really impressed with the CD, and I've been sleeping on the dude because he had a mixtape called, what was the name of it? Return of Forever. And that motherfucker went hard, and like, Crit is that motherfucking dude, and he actually has he did a record, and I don't think it was on this CD. I don't know exactly what CD it was on, but he did a record with B.B. King. And apparently Spike Lee wants to turn it into some type of like extended video. He wants to direct it. Yeah, B.B. King was playing the harmonica trumpet. He was doing his thing on the fucking record. And so it was just like, this is a cat to look out for. Big Crit, I think, is really going to surprise some people. He's only been putting out mixtapes. You know, I think he's trying to still get everything worked out. But it was phenomenal. He got a lot of great critical response. And so yeah, if y'all fuck with that down south shit and not necessarily that ignorant shit, but like he a southern dude and he got something to say, and the beats go hard, he got some soulful shit, and like the motherfucker, it went. So that's my number 5, Big Crit, King Remembered in Time.
Yeah, respect. And actually, I didn't even hear that mixtape. I had gotten the last CD that he had, and I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Big Is Crit it Live Here? From the Underground, or no. I'm trying to see his discography.
I think it was called Big Crit Was Here, I think.
That sounds about right.
But it was a dope track.
Oh, Crit Was Here.
Crit Was Here.
Yeah.
Once again, sometimes, and I know he's dope, and I definitely was feeling when he came out. I love his production. I remember, you know, back when he used to do T.I. stuff, I really liked him. Mm-hmm. But one of those things to where, I don't know what it is. I just wasn't, but he's a dope guy, so no disrespect to him.
Yeah, yeah.
But my top 5 was actually a tie. And it was a tie between, and I'm wondering if I should reorganize my thing here. But it was a top 5 between John Legend.
Okay.
And Lady Gaga.
Okay. Now,
this is going to sound really weird, but John Legend, I've loved his music since he did his first major album on Good Music, the Get Lifted.
Okay.
And he's been a totally different artist from once he started to how he is now. Not stylistically so much, But vocally, because when he first started, you know, I think he was homies with one of Kanye's cousins. I think he went to Columbia.
Yeah.
Or something. No, he signed to Columbia. He went to, I forgot what college he's from, but he met Kanye's cousin, put him on, signed him, whatever. Yeah. So then he said once he started touring, his voice changed because he's just, you know, when you're recording up in the home studio, yeah, it's a whole lot different when you actually are able to scream,
yeah,
and have sound and whatever the hell like that. So when you're doing shows, you're going live, you're going, yeah, getting turned up. But anyways. I've been a really big fan, and I remember once he actually did a tour with him and Robin Thicke, and I took one of my my Pusillaya, the dyke that turned me. You know, it's just really just phenomenal fucking show. But anyways, John Legend's really dope. His last album is, I think it was called Future Love, or no, Love in the Future, okay, which wasn't, you know, he didn't have crazy crazy singles. I actually didn't even know what the fuck the single was. I just got it because, yeah, it was John Legend.
I didn't even know he came out with something this year.
Dude, yeah. It went really slept on. Him and actually Raheem Devon, I think I mentioned Raheem Devon's album when we first did the... Dude, one of our first shows. But yeah, John Legend, he's a monster because he, like I said, the reason why he's on that top five is because he actually put a body of work together that's telling a story. I mean, and what's R&B? That's rhythm and blues. You're speaking about love, you're speaking about, you know, hurt, you're speaking about regret, and he does that. And some of my favorite songs on there, All of Me, and he goes on. The song titles are really straightforward about what he's trying to say.
Yeah.
All of Me is All of You, and there's another track that he actually has with Rick Ross that I actually liked. It goes, who do you think? I forget who sings the original song, Mr. Big Stuff, and who do we think? But he's talking about himself, like, who do we think we are that we're so fucked up? And Rick Ross, of course, gives him a rule, I'm a baller sort of shit, which I think goes hand in hand to what John Legend is saying, like, who the fuck do you think you are?
Yeah.
Kind of how Killer Mike said, you're making six figures, but you're still, you know?
Yes.
So I really love that. And there's one song that I called Wanna Be Loved. It's an R&B record. You know what I mean? All we want to do is, and I'm emotional like that. I just want to be loved. I say some really fucked up things. I need someone to pat me on the head and be like, baby, it's okay. comb my hair forward, stroke my beard. Just let me know it's okay and I'm safe. So he, you know, number five. And I took Cole on. The reason why he split with Lady Gaga is because in her body of work, which has a lot of mixed messages, she is very straightforward in what she's trying to say. All these Illuminati symbolisms and shit like that. From all that shit, from her concept of a gypsy, from her wanting her a fucking round of applause, wanting to be praised like a god.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all on there. From her being a fashionista to, it's all very straightforward, very, I understand. She's telling a story and I get it. That's why her and John Legend are tied for number five, because they have a body of work. They express it and it's spread well.
That's what's up.
That's my five.
So my number four, and now I could actually say that my number four and my number three can be interchangeable depending on my mood. Like my top four I was having a hard time with. So number four and number three can be interchangeable, but I'm going to go ahead and put this one at number four. And I'm not going to go too deep into it because I know you're going to be offended. My number four was Wale's The Gifted.
I'm sorry.
Wale came in at number four. Now, it's not to hate on the CD. The CD was fucking phenomenal. And I think the main thing, though, I think Wale, I guess the best analogy I could use for it is Wale has bad credit with me right now. Wale, I was really feeling Wale as he was coming up in the game. I was really feeling Attention Deficit. I really liked that CD. I know. A lot of people didn't like it, but I really liked CD.
That's what he was on his backpacker. That's what was true.
Yeah.
Untampered with.
Now, then he came out with the Ambition CD, and I really hated that fucking CD.
I love the subtitle.
I love that record. It was Meek Mill and Rick Ross, right? I really loved that one. And then he had a song. It was very weird, but he had a song with Kid Cudi that I really liked. It was real fucking different, and I really liked that one, but overall, I was so disappointed in the Ambition CD when it came out that I was almost done with listening to dude's music. I was like, if this is what the fuck he's gonna be doing now that he's on Maybach Music, I was like, I'm not fucking with him. But this CD impressed the fuck out of me. But like I said, he still has a little bad credit with me, so I can't praise him too much. I need him to give me one more solid CD like this, and I'm back on the Wale's bandwagon.
Okay.
But it was a solid CD.
Let me tell you, my gripe with Wale's first record, which I was a fan of. I got that motherfucker. Yeah. And I was like, yo, I really liked him. I liked that he was Backpapper. I loved, and I was jealous that he was on Interscope, because if I was young and I didn't know about how record labels are worth shit and how they fucking nickel and dime you, Interscope is one of my favorite labels. Mm-hmm. Just top bar none. And I loved that the fact that he was label mates with Lady Gaga, had a feature with her. He did not use her properly.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And that's the other thing that I really give him props for on this CD, that you can really tell, is that he really had his hand in the making of this CD. That first one, I think he was just happy to be in the game, and so he was just trying to see what he can do, and it didn't quite work out, and he didn't like how Interscope treated him as a new artist, and so he left and he went over to Maybach. And then I think when he did that first Ambition CD, it was kind of the same thing. He didn't quite know what he wanted to do, because he's more of a backpacker, but he also kind of has the Playboy swag to him, but now he's on this kind of gangster rap mafia music type label, and so I think he was trying to find his footing. And then I think going into this CD, I think Rick Ross is like, dude, don't worry about none of that dumb shit. Just fucking do you, and I got your back. And you could tell that Wale really put his fucking hands into the making of this CD, and it was a solid CD. And you could tell that this was his best CD that he's put out. So,
Tina, I want to double check really quickly to see, because I think he's still on Interscope. Actually, no. It's Maybach/Atlantic. So, yeah, it was a total change.
Okay, yeah. See, so he completely left. Yeah.
Because you know what? Like I said, they kept him shelved, and they probably said, fuck it. You're at the contrary. Here, we don't even want to hold on to you. Goddamn, it's fucked up. All right. I'll go to my. Where are we? Four, right?
Four, yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay, that was my fourth.
My number four was Miles. Miley Cyrus.
Bangers.
Let me tell you why this bitch is in my number four.
Yeah.
And I said, I think I mentioned her in the singles thing. But like I said, when we rate albums, I'm giving overall
grasp of it. Yeah.
And with her, as ignorant and stupid as the bitch go, in the words of the youth, this bitch go hard.
Yeah.
She go. And like I said, to me, in the game, if you have a feature of Britney Spears, you kind of big dicking it.
Yeah, you're
now,
doing
Britney Spears is not known to be on another bitch's track.
No, she is not.
So there's two reasons for that. One, this bitch wants to be relevant. She sees that Miley's on the throne, and South Park had made a joke a few years back when Britney Spears went crazy. She went on bald, and then they need someone to follow. This is a foreshadowing. But then they pointed to Miley Cyrus or Hannah Montana. So who the fuck knows? We'll see. She's in the game.
Conspiracy
theory, but it might work. And so you see shit like that. And she has, and I hate that my sister likes this motherfucker, but she had a song called Love Money Party with Big Sean. And his verse was a nothing, but I mean, he just has great charisma or whatever like that. Favorite tracks, as I mentioned when I gave a bit of a review before, hashtag get it right, where she's like, said one of my favorite lines, and I actually made a little Instagram video of me listening to it. She said one of my favorite lines, and God, I said, I really like it, because I think I was in that situation where this bitch is on the phone, she's waiting for this dude to fucking come to her house, come dick her down, and she's dancing in the mirror like she ain't got no panties on. Like, I love that line.
Yeah.
But like I said, most of this album as fucking orchestrated and theoried, and all as much as this bitch is following a formula, she follows it, and she gives you exactly what you expect. She goes really hardcore and Southern Ignorant with 4x4 featuring Nelly, where I said it sounds so goddamn racist, I want to bust out some spoons and start fucking dancing with this shit, to doing, like, it sounded like it was actually My Darling featuring Future out of all motherfuckers. It was kind of a ballad just about loving and da da da. Wrecking Ball, obviously, being a big single, and she's talking about all the love and just all the hatred and all the shit that's happening with her and fucking Liam guy.
Yeah.
To doing a song called F You with French Montana, which, as stupid as it is, because it sounds stupid as you're listening to it, it's telling a funny little story about just being F You. It had interesting wordplay. One of my favorite songs is called Do My Thing. And I'm going to quote this bitch. Here she goes, and I hate it because it sounds so ignorant. She's like, I'm a Southern belle, and I get crazier than hell. But it's
that catchy. White girl came out.
Yeah. It came out, and I liked it. Because Lord knows I like an ignorant white bitch. And she showed it. And there's actually a really sweet song on here called Rooting for My Baby, where she says this really, oh my God, this loving line. And I don't believe a thing this bitch says.
Yeah.
But she says this thing about she can't wait for a dude to come home so she could take off his shoes and give him his drink. Like, bitch, you know damn well you ain't that bitch. But if you were, God, would I love you and cherish you. So, yeah, she was my number four.
Okay. Now, over to my number three, and you might be surprised that this came in at three. Jay-Z, Magna Carta, Holy Grail, dropped to three for me.
Mention, son. He didn't even know my honorable mention. But, all right, but tell me, why was he number three?
Now, Jay was three on me. I thought it was a solid CD. I know a lot of people, even like fans of Jay-Z, like shouts out to Peter Rosenberg, hated the fucking CD.
They admit it.
Didn't like it. Like a lot of people, even fans of Jay-Z, did not like this CD. I like the CD because, like I said, Jay-Z resonates with me, and he's probably... He's my overall my favorite rapper. I really like Jay-Z. I followed him his whole entire career. I've owned every single CD. I've had the one mixtape that he put out, the S. Dot Carter mixtape or whatnot.
Motherfucker did mixtape.
Yeah, he put one mixtape out, and so I've been a fan of Jay-Z, and I thought the album was solid. And what I really liked about the album, which is what a lot of people didn't like about the album, is the album he's rapping about the black elite status. And I remember I was talking to a partner of mine at work, and he really was saying that he don't like any of Jay's new shit, because he was like, I don't get what the fuck he's talking about. He's talking about art fairs, and he's talking about Tom Ford, and he's talking about a whole bunch of shit that me, coming from the hood, I don't get none of that shit. But me... That's the reason why I liked it, because I've enjoyed the journey of Jay-Z. Going from that first fucking album, I'm a Jay-Z stan. And going back to the first album that he had of the young mid-20 guy, coming out the hood, and just I've enjoyed watching him progress as an artist, and I like that where he's at right now. He's not talking about the same shit that he was talking back in the day. We said that on the last show about that's the reason why 50 Cent is no longer relevant, because 50 is trying to talk about some shit that he doesn't do anymore. Like, your music needs to grow as your lifestyle changes. Your music needs to grow with it, and Jay-Z's music, love it or hate it, has grown and changed as his lifestyle's changed. And just overall, he had some solid songs on there. I'm trying to go down to the track listing. I really liked the Oceans record with Frank Ocean. I said,
that was actually a good song.
That was, and it was very metaphorical, and it was a nice little double entendre of talking about being slaves and coming over the oceans from Africa to America, and then parlaying that to now we're part of the black elite, and we're in the same oceans that our ancestors crossed over in slave boats, and now we're in yachts pouring champagne over. And it was a real dope fucking analogy. It was real deep.
Like a christening, and right? Is
kind of, yeah, basically. And then the Heaven song, I really like that song.
Justin?
That's the Holy Grail one. Heaven.
No. He's on there. He just
Oh, that's right. He's not featured. I forgot. He is the one singing on the hook. I really like that song, Me Being Into Gnostic Christianity. He talked about a lot of Gnostic stuff. And even one line that I didn't even catch until later, he starts off that first song. He says, arm, leg, arm, head, this is God, body. He spelled out Allah. A-L-L-A-H, arm, leg, arm, head, this is God, body. And so he had some 5% or wordplay in there too, and so it was a deep record. And then
he referenced Allah, not Yahweh.
I'm just saying. And then it just overall was a solid CD. He did have a couple songs I wasn't too particular with, like the part two on the run, the song with Beyonce. It was a good record, but it was more of a, it sounded like a Beyonce record with him featured on it. Mm-hmm. And so overall, yeah, it was a solid CD. Like I said, I was really feeling it when it first came out, but over time it just kind of dropped in. So that's my number three album.
Okay. Transitioning here, and it's kind of funny that my number three, let me double check to make sure that it is, which didn't even make your list. Yeezus. To me, Yeezus is my number three.
Yeah.
And one thing I love, and it's funny because, like I said, I stepped into the barbershop just for a second to say hello and be like, hey, motherfucker, save me a seat, which I'm already late. It's already 2:30.
I know. I just looked at the time, too. Yeah.
But Yeezus, which people say they can't dig it, and you mentioned this, and I forgot what track, sonically it just sounded weird.
Yeah, On Site. The mix was horrible.
No, listen to me.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I love so much about it is how off that it sounded, because honestly, I've been doing some weird shit, and I feel like this motherfucker, he's been reading my poetry blogs, and he's been taking shit, he's stealing from me, and somehow, you see, he hacked into my network, saw my samples, and he just... he's doing something weird. He's barely figuring it out.
Yeah.
People ain't hip to it yet because they ain't done it. But I just felt like he's taking the necessary steps to hopefully be something that's bigger than hip-hop.
Yeah.
Because that's what he's trying to do. He wants to be bigger than hip-hop. Exactly. Even though the old label of his was hip-hop since 78, he's trying to be beyond that.
Yeah.
And that's what I loved. I really, and I'll mention this, even though we even mentioned this in the pilot, which I'm sure nobody heard, Black Skinhead.
Yeah.
I was hoping to get more of that. I was thinking we were going to have a revolutionary Kanye West. I thought we were going to have motherfuckers that are going to really change the game. And a New Slave. So
Black Skinhead and New Slaves, perfect songs.
Then even the way he was promoting it, he was going to random places, putting up hologram shits or whatever, and playing this fucking video. That's some of the best marketing. I mean, besides just being a big artist and doing your shit like Beyonce did, that's the most revolutionary shit you can do because you figure, oh my god, this is really underground. This is some shit that the labels can't even handle.
Exactly.
And even though I was, I felt disrespectful when he did his own little pictures of him as Jesus on the cross, I was even more upset when they took that fucking album art off the damn cover, trying to do it like they did Mos Def, Steal This Hour. Whatever.
True Magic, I think.
True Magic, Steal This Album actually was a System of the Down CD. Or whatever. Give me some fucking artwork. And the shit that you had. Come on. You had a goddamn devil and a fucking naked white bitch on your fucking My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasies. Yeah. But you can't have Jesus on here? you motherfucker. Really? Interscope, you evil? Not Interscope. He's on Def Jam. Whatever the fuck. You evil? Fuck.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys. I wanted the album cover. Anyways.
Yeah.
I was really excited for the album. I really dig it. Sonically, I fucks with it because I listen to thrash metal, dude.
Yeah.
So, I like distorted fucking shit. And to me, when you're a fan, you're going to sit through the shit and try to get what you can out of it. And like I said, so I dig it. I fuck with that. There's some things.
And I will say real quick, it's interesting. I know Ebro from Hot 97 was talking about this, how the CD is still relevant. And it's interesting because people are still talking about Yeezus. And what is happening is when the CD first came out, a lot of people shitted on it. And I remember that was the thing that I was saying when we first reviewed it on the pilot episode. I was saying it was a lot better than people were giving it credit for when it first came out. A lot of people was just like, oh, this ain't that regular hip-hop shit, I'm done with this shit. No, it was fucking dope. It's just a lot of people didn't get it. And now X amount of months have passed, and now people are starting to get it, and then people are really starting to like it. And as he's been doing the Yeezus tour, and he's doing this whole big Broadway kind of thing, I'm hearing the tour is fucking phenomenal, and he's telling a story. Mm-hmm. People are starting to get it, and now people are starting to hop on the bandwagon of it. And so I just find that interesting. It took a while just for it to grow onto people. So,
and one thing, and I guess I can make reference to Beyonce shit, and I ain't seen it yet. I've seen it pop up on iTunes. I ain't clicked on it because I don't want to pay the bitch no mind.
Yeah.
But they say it's a visual album. Now, one thing about Kanye, he is a visual cat.
Yes.
And really, unless you are on his mind state, you're not going to catch everything that he's doing. So it does take a show like the Yeezus tour, which, by the way, Kendrick was very smart by jumping on and adds more to the hate because he didn't tour with Schoolboy. He didn't tour with Absol, with all the TDE crew, whatever. Smart decision, especially that's just a smart motherfucker. It takes that much for you to really get why the fuck Kanye is Kanye and why this motherfucker's been going crazy, and because nobody's getting him. So I'm glad for that. And actually most of the songs have between 4 to 5 stars. Only On Sight did get a 3 because it was a little weird.
That got
I guess.
A 3 for me too.
But just even his little ignorance, she's like, On Sight. It's him getting ignorant, and like how he said on Black Skinhead, if I would have knew what I knew in the past, I would have been blacked out on your ass. So he was my top 3, and he's great.
Yes, sir. Now my number 2 album of the year, I gotta give it to the man known as Tyler, the Creator.
Mm.
That Wolf CD surprised the living fuck out of me. And I've mentioned it before, I was not an Odd Future fan. When I first got kind of introduced to him, some of the stuff that I was hearing, they were doing a lot of very blasphemous and upside down crawl stuff. I thought that they were just doing the shock jock. Even Tyler, I remember on the, I think it was the Bastard CD that had Yonkers.
Oh, no. The one that had Yonkers was, it might have been Bastard. I think Bastard was his first thing.
Or Goblin. I think it was Goblin that Yonkers was on. One of those. Whichever one it was on.
Bastard thing was his very first.
Yeah. I remember hearing that song and just like, I don't know, he used to make my skin crawl. I was like, I'm kind of cool on this dude. But then actually what caught my attention was then when the reviews came out of Wolf, a lot of people were saying how he had matured as an artist and it was a mature album. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to stop sleeping on dude. I was like, I'm going to go ahead and check him out. And I got the CD, and like I said, I was surprised as fuck. And listening to the CD, I got it. I get it now. And like Tyler and the whole Odd Future crew, they're black kids, but they're essentially those black kids that grew up in the white suburbs, and it's that teenage angst music. And like I said, I mentioned this on a previous episode, if I was a teenager right now, Tyler would be to me what Eminem was to me.
And he's kind of that too.
Tyler the Creator is this generation's Eminem. And it's like, it's just that kind of fuck the world, my life is fucked up, my parents ain't shit type of music. And like, I was really blown away by the fucking CD. And scrolling down to the credits, he had a lot of different shit that was dope. I really loved, he had a record called Awkward, which was about him talking to this girl and how they get along and he likes her, but then he's like kind of too awkward to make that approach, that move on her, and then they kiss, and now it's awkward in here because they kissed. And just, it was just dope. Just like, I remember those moments of liking a chick and just that awkwardness of like, I want to make this work with her, but you know, I don't want to fuck it up and things are awkward and then things happen. It was real dope. And then he had the Answer song, which was calling out his daddy. Pops. Yeah,
that song actually got the highest score.
Yeah,
that I scored it. Like, I gave it 4 stars.
That was a real phenomenal song. Just talking about how his father wasn't there growing up, and he's just going off about how much he fucking hates his father for not being there for him, and how you don't even deserve the right for me to call you my fucking father. But then at the end of the day, if I call you, I just hope you do answer the phone. Because I hate you, but
sing it. How do you sing it?
I can't even remember how it went off the top of my head.
It was something like, I hope you pick up your phone. Like, yeah. I want to talk to you.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. And then the Colossus record I thought was real phenomenal. He was rapping about being at a amusement park. I think he was at Magic Mountain or something like that. And some kids walked up onto him to get an autograph. And he's like, doesn't want to be bothered because he's at amusement park trying to have fun. But then these kids are on his dick. And it was kind of like his version of Stan. And it was like these kids just talking him up and just how big of a fan they are and how they're just, you know, they love him and this and this and that. And finally he ends the song with like, just shut the fuck up. Let me just sign your autograph. And so it was a real dope CD. I finally got him. And so I'm like, okay, I'm on the Tyler the Creator bandwagon. I went and got some of his old shit. I'm gonna listen to some of his old shit. I'm a Tyler the Creator fan. I get it now.
Yeah.
So that's my shit.
I'm glad that I'm not glad.
And actually I gotta give you a shout out, cause you're the one who put me up on Odd Future. I was not fucking with them guys at all, and you put me up on a couple of videos, and I was like, wait, I'm kind of feeling this shit. And that was what else helped me to, let me go ahead and check out some Tyler. So,
and thank you for the shout out. I will say, when it comes to Tyler, I so was not digging it because the whole atheist feel and vibe that he was giving, which I laugh, a lot of atheists don't know that upside down cross to represent was how Peter went down, because Peter himself said, I'm unworthy to die the way the Savior died. You hang me motherfucking upside down because I'm unworthy. So it's funny, the atheists rock because they are unworthy. You don't believe me? You're unworthy. Anyways, I think it was Yonkers. That's the track that really, that, because he said this line, I fucking love it. I love the line and I hate it because it's so blasphemous.
Yeah.
When he's like, I'm choking up just thinking about it. He's like, Jesus called. He said he's sick of the disses. I told him to quit bitching. This isn't a fucking hotline. I'm like, ooh, it got my blood boiling. It made me want to say, fuck this guy. It got my hatred for him. But what I really liked about this album, what I wanted to mention, the last track you mentioned was Colossus.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's any reference to it. I'm not too sure if it's the PS2 fanboy in me.
Yeah.
There's a video game called Colossus where throughout the game, the world that you're walking around in is this one big old Colossus motherfucker, and you're pretty much riding up his leg, and you're to make it to the final. I never played the whole fucking thing. Apparently, you make it to the top of his head, and that's what you, I don't know. You got to kill the motherfucker, but or you just ride on. If video game nerds listen to us, they'll probably correct me on this. But apparently, you ride these Colossus characters, and you just fucking I don't know. But you're pretty much what he is saying in the song is that you're dick riding.
Yeah.
And there's no other way of dick riding than truly riding on the motherfucker's dick. Awesome. And in the game, that's what you're doing. So I thought that was a smart title. And they actually, he did a video for Tamale, 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 Tamale. And at the end of Tamale is when they had, for some weird reason, he added a segment of Answer to where it gets real emotional. Because you know how somber of a song that shit is. So it's kind of like the wind down. Because Tamale is a very upbeat, hype track.
Yeah.
So Tamale was kind of, I mean, Answer was kind of that, I want to talk to you. And then I don't know if he's a straight edge or not.
But
he's smoking cigarette in the video, and he says smoking's bad, don't do it. But obviously, we know what kind of emotional song that is, so you would see why, if he ever did call him, he hoped he'd answer. And so it's kind of, it made, I was like, dude, that's artistic. Like, okay, like, I fucks with that.
And the other record, too, was the IFHY, I Fucking Hate You. I love Pharrell? That record with Pharrell. I fucking hate you, but I love you. It was like, real. I feel him.
It was
I
real.
I feel him. He was a real ass fucking CD. So.
And I guess just honorable mention, just for the fact of Odd Future, and then totally forgot about him. Domo, is that his name? Domo Genius. Who I hate only because, for two reasons.
Yeah.
Well, I hate him for one reason, love him for one. In the song Rella, which is what really kind of made me warm up to Odd Future as a whole, he bitch slaps his black girl. And she comes back as a hot Asian woman.
He slapped the black off.
And
of
he
her.
Said that in a line to him. I was like,
that's shit genius. Was, wow.
Domo the genius.
Once again, the Rilla or Rella.
Rilla.
That was Rilla. The fucking record, too, that you played for me. That was like, let me stop sleeping on these guys. This is, if y'all ain't seen the fucking video, check it out. R E L L A.
Yeah. The video is hot.
Oh, my
and
God.
And Kendrick. Fucking Tyler does a fucking mountain of cocaine in reverse. It was hilarious.
Phenomenal.
But this is line that Domo says in that song, just since we're talking about Rella, he goes, suicide, Welch, nigga, kill yourself. And he also said he made a video game reference. He's like, splitting a cell could increase some shit. It was
phenomenal.
A genius record, phenomenal record.
Phenomenal.
And then also who was featured on that same track, I think it was called Rusty. I forget how Rusty even went, but two of the cats that I slept on that I should have mentioned earlier, Earl Sweatshirt. Oh, actually, wait. Before I go to Earl Sweatshirt, the reason why I love Domo because of that, slapping the black offline. I hate Domo. Surely as a fellow artist, because he got a whole album produced by The Alchemist. Alchemist happens to be one of my favorite producers.
Same here.
And I'm hating it in a beautiful way. And then, of course, Earl Sweatshirt, who's just one of those quiet kept guys who truly is awkward, because him and his girlfriend, like, the way he just tells, I heard a funny story about how they met and how, you know, they're not all like, you know, she wasn't dick riding them. Yeah. She truly, it was a sweet little story. And dude is the most, of faith guy, which makes me wonder, like, how
does that work?
There's such an oddball of people because Tyler, who makes so many homophobic references, cool with Frank Ocean, Frank Ocean obviously being openly bi or gay. I don't think there's any such thing as a bi. You can't be a bi guy. I don't know. That's another topic
of controversy for another
day.
Whatever,
he is what he is.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, them having this atheist atmosphere, yet Earl, who came from a very strong
Christian background, I think. And shouts out to Earl Sweatshirt, too. He also had a CD that came out this year, Doris, which I listened to that, and that was a solid CD.
It was. Nothing stood out to me too much.
Yeah, it didn't really stand out.
It was dope.
My favorite line, though, that he had, speaking of Earl Sweatshirt, my favorite line that he had on that CD was, he was like, tell my group. And I fucks with him, so I'm a fan of him. So what is your number two?
And I'm trying to bring up the damn list here, but
iTunes
is being stupid. No, not my list, but like, I wanted to pull up. I have it on iTunes. That's the only time I can't remember tracks offhand. But I forgot what number on your list that he was on yours, because it wasn't worth it. But Wale.
Yeah.
Is, what are we?
And
what number are we?
Two.
Fuck, what did I skip? Okay, no. Well, yeah, Wale, and he was almost, it was actually a battle between one and two.
Okay.
But he definitely has the highest hip hop ranking.
Okay.
On my top five. And this just goes back to, he has the luxury to do what the fuck he wants to do now. Yeah. Now, mind you, I was a fan of attention deficit.
Yeah,
I got mad about him not using Lady Gaga
properly.
But when it's, again, that might be just my crush that I have with her, and then also with my musical thing. I don't know. So I'm into art, man. I'm an artist.
Yeah, yeah.
And so besides all that, I hated like a motherfucker when he made the transition to Maybach Music. Yeah. Ambition, which I thought was actually a dope record. There's a couple of tracks that really fucking tickled me. And actually, I'm going to go back to Ambition, because I think it was a song called Ambition with Meek Mills. You're right, it was Meek Mills and Rick Ross, where he says, and I think it was Meek Mills who said the line, he goes, fuck, something about interceptions aren't given. Oh, he's like, life is like some shit about interception. Like, I forget the fucking line. It was my favorite lines. But he says, opportunities aren't given, they're taken, like interceptions.
That was the line.
And I was like, yo. So anyway, so mind you, a lot of shit comes from obviously, the better the production, the more freedom you have. And
yeah,
if you're not typecast as a backpack rapper, I don't know. I feel like he reinvented himself. And when he did Gifted, I feel like besides the one track that was Clappers, which he got told, I mean, come on, you have Nicki Minaj and Juicy J. Like, you know, it's just going to be ignorant as fuck. But it's a single, though.
Yeah.
And he called it out saying, I only got one of those motherfuckers on here. Yeah. And you know, he did it. And it was dope. And actually, he had some really, really, for lack of a better word, he had some bad bitches in the video.
Yeah.
And the baddest one was, shouts out to my Latinas. Surprisingly, it was a Latina, you know? And she looked really bad. I was upset that there wasn't a white woman in the mix. but my Latina was light-skinned enough.
Yeah.
She was perfect. Anyways, some tracks like Golden Salvation, the Jesus piece.
Yeah.
Where he says, you know what I'm saying, we do all this shit for a Jesus piece, but you motherfuckers really don't know about Jesus' piece.
Yeah.
Like, so I thought that was really smart. Sunshine, just one of those smooth R&B tracks where just you sing along to it and it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Same thing with Love Hate Thing. Like, it was just, you could tell he was happy on it. Like, he just, because he's just doing his thing. He's a wordsmith.
He was real comfortable on this CD. That's what it was. Like, this was the CD I think he's been trying to make. You could tell he was in his zone. He was comfortable, and it was coming out the way that he wanted to. Mm-hmm. So
that's exactly what it was. And I thought that's one thing I love about the beats that he's on. They're not the most technical. You know what I'm saying? They don't sound very, you don't got to go hard, but it gives you a freedom to where you can do you. And I think he did that. He even talked some shit on Gullible. I remember you not liking it so much, you felt like he was talking shit to you. But that's what I love about it.
I got over it, though.
Because no. And that's what I love about it, because he has talked shit to me in this CD. And I'm like, huh.
Yeah.
But I respect him for it. I love him for it. Even on Bricks, I love it. He's talking so much shit about motherfuckers who brag about Bricks. And who does he have on there? Yo Gotti,
only raps about Bricks.
So I felt like this is the biggest fuck you record to everybody that's out there. And he did it in a very, to me, this is a classic way of talking shit.
Yeah.
And then to get real ignorant, another ignorant track that I love him, because this being from a man who indulges, Rotation. It's so dope. Makes one that makes
five
a little dance.
In rotation. Five blunts. Five blunts in rotation. That was my shit.
So, you know, and I hate Wiz Khalifa, but of course you gotta have him on a track
of course.
Yeah. And then even Tired of Dreaming is a track for the ladies. That's what got Neo on there.
Yeah.
He was being smart. Like, this motherfucker, I hope he hates himself every day for not using Lady Gaga properly.
Yeah.
And he used Neo right, and he had him sing to ladies, I forget how the chorus went. But he's pretty much saying he's tired because your dream girl, you know who your dream girl is. I'm tired of dreaming for you. I want you in the real. I want you right now. So I thought all of this was smart. All of it was dope. Even when the Tierra Thomas deal went bad and she signed to someone else. I forget who the fuck she signed to. And I hope you don't get no play for not giving Wale any love and being signed to him. He did one up and he got fucking Rihanna to be on there and be the dumb bitch who wants a bad motherfucker. So I thought it was smart. It was dope. I can replay it. I haven't. So to be honest with you, he just got my top fame from the moment that I listened to it.
Yeah.
I haven't really listened to it, but I can. And it is. I don't feel uncomfortable rehearing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why that was my number two.
Yes, sir. So now, dun, 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 to our number ones. Now, my number one album of the year, I'm still a hip-hop head.
Okay.
I'm still a stan.
Ooh.
And I gotta give the best album of the year to Childish Gambino because the internet.
Uh-huh.
This CD just came out last week and...
Was it last week or this past Tuesday?
This past Tuesday.
Okay.
We're not even a week into the CD being out. CD is fucking phenomenal, in my opinion. I fully invested and digested the CD.
Bought the physical copy, yo.
Yes, and even if you follow me on Instagram at Arizona Verse, I bought it, and when I bought it, I took a picture of it.
Did you? I didn't see it.
I took a picture of it. Like, I still buy CDs, y'all. Like, look, I got it in my hand. I'm supporting this dude. This album blew me the fuck away, and I'm trying not to get long-winded. This might be a three-hour episode. This might be a long one.
God damn,
this might be
three.
A long one.
Come on, hold up.
Now, because the internet, to me, I think it proved, for me personally, how much of a genius Childish Gambino is. He recently, the people who follow him outside of music, he was Troy on the show Community, mm-hmm. and he recently worked out a deal to get out of the show Community. So their episode or...
Did they kill him off?
I don't know what they're going to do just yet. Season 5 starts in January, and apparently he's only on like 4 or 5 episodes.
Troy without Abed, I mean, that's just...
I don't know the dynamic, because this morning, I just finished watching the first 4 seasons, so I'm caught up with Community, so I don't know how it's going to work next year without Troy and Abed
in the morning.
I don't know how that's going to work, but hey, we'll see. But... because the internet, I thought, was fucking phenomenal. It was very abstract, and it's a lot of separate pieces to it that once you put all the pieces together, it, like I said, I keep saying it was phenomenal. Now, he dropped the album, and with the album, he also dropped a 75-page screenplay that you could find on the internet at becausetheenter.net.
Is this a way of shopping it out to people?
This is just like, it's the story of the album. And so
I think he actually made a screenplay, and he wants to get a green light.
Read it. And now how he did it, which was crazy, is like, you read it, and then at certain points you're supposed to stop reading it, and then you listen to the first song. And then it's some other stuff happens in a screenplay, and then you stop and you listen to the net song. And there's some videos on there that doesn't have audio. It's just this whole bunch of things. And not to spoil, give away too much of it, but the screenplay starts at the very next scene after the camp CD. Camp CD ended with the story of him being going to that camp, and about the situation, what happened with him and that girl while he was on the bus, and how that made him look at life differently and all that. And then that that story at the end of camp ended with him getting off of the bus. Now, the screenplay for Because the Internet starts with him getting off that bus and him getting into a limo with his father. And then his father in the screenplay is played by Rick Ross. And so, yeah. It goes through the whole story of all that.
Really quick, interject. What was that? My favorite line, I think it was on Camp. He's rap stepfather. He may not like me, but you will respect. Okay, keep going.
And now he... it goes to the story with him and all that. Then it fast forward 15 years later. Now, at this point is when you watch the Clapping for the Wrong Reasons short film that he did, which was a 30-minute short film. And then all that plays. And then the second that ends, that's where the screenplay picks up. And it's this whole story about this guy that they simply called the boy. And it's about just his life tale. And it's about, you know, what's going on in his life. And then it interweaves between the screenplay and the songs. And so all, like, when I first listened to the CD, I wasn't sure if I liked it, because some of it I didn't get. But after watching or reading the screenplay and listening to it, it all made sense. He was telling a story, and it's chopped up between the screenplay and the song. So you got to kind of go back and forth between the two. And it, once again, tells a complete story, starting with his last CD and where it goes from there. And I was fucking blown away by just how much work he put into it. And it was just, it was fucking phenomenal. And also, the CD really resonates with me, because he's in an odd place in his life right now. And on a personal note, I'm in a similar boat with his mind state right now. So it really just resonated with me. Like, I kind of feel what he's going through. And so the CD just fucking blew me away. And like I said, I know there's a lot of people who are just going to listen to the CD and have an opinion about it. But to get the full fucking story, you gotta watch the Clapping for the Wrong Reasons. You gotta know what happened at the end of camp. You gotta listen to the CD, and you gotta listen to it and read the screenplay to get the full fucking vibe of it. And I was just fucking blown away. And The other thing, two other things I will say about the CD that I really thought was interesting. Personally, I think that this CD was very similar sonically to the Yeezus CD. It was very, like, kind of alternative, offbeat, kind of different production. And in my honest opinion, I think he did the Yeezus CD better than Kanye did his own Yeezus CD. And the reason why I say that is, production-wise, Kanye is a better producer than the combo of Childish and Ludwig. But vocally, Childish can do a lot more vocally than what Kanye can do. And so there's a lot of rapping, there's a lot of singing, there's harmonizing, there's a lot of different things going on the CD. And it's interesting because Childish Gambino, like, kind of idolizes Kanye. He looks up to Kanye. And I think that he's, once again, vocally better than Kanye. So I think it's kind of the whole student passing the master, if you will. Mm-hmm. But Kanye is on a much higher plane, so Kanye music gets out a lot further. And in a perfect world, I would love to see Childish signed to Good Music, because I really think that him and Kanye, they could do some phenomenal fucking shit if they work together. And then, were you going to say something?
Well, I was going to say, because, yes, mind you, I didn't catch, I didn't listen to the whole album, and I want to mention some key tracks.
Yeah.
You haven't mentioned tracks
yet.
Oh,
no, yeah, go ahead.
But I feel like, when you said him surpassing Kanye, I feel like he is more diverse than Kanye.
He is.
And that's why I do believe, mind you, I haven't listened to the whole record, and I haven't connected the dots the way that you have.
Yeah.
But sonically, I would believe that because he has more of an ear for it. And I'm not to say that Kanye doesn't go past soul samples.
Yeah.
But I mean, really, though, what did he start with? What is he influenced by? What does he do?
And what is his best material?
Exactly.
And so that's just kind of the thing. And even like with Kanye doing the 808s and Heartbreaks and the different times when he tries to sing, Kanye's not a good singer. And Childish Gambino can hold a fucking note. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I just, the whole fucking CD, like, it was just dope. And it just, like I said, once you read the screenplay, and all, it all makes sense. And so I just gotta salute the brother for putting that much fucking work into a CD that only the nerds are really, really gonna get. Now, the other last thing I will say real quick, which I think is interesting, is as you read the reviews, Hip Hop DX, even Needle Drop, a lot of the big blog reviewers, they're shitting on this CD just like they shitted on his last CD. And I have a theory.
Go ahead. Did my dude from Needle Drop do it?
Needle Drop. I've tried to listen to his review. I got like.
Did he already review it?
Yeah, he reviewed it. It's up on YouTube.
He's one of the biggest haters of Gambino.
I got 2 to 3 minutes into it. He started shitting on it. I was like, fuck this dude. He's not even giving him a chance. And I will say this, though, because bloggers and reviewers seem to hate him. I think what it is because Childish represents them.
And what they want to do.
What they want to do. And I think it's jealousy. I think
that's
why
I hate him.
I think that's
who. Or I should say hate on him.
Hate on him. Because, like, even like I said, like, I really like his music because he's kind of like me. He's that kid that grew up who he was too white for the black kids, but he was too black for the white kids. So you always have that weird isolation and not being able to kind of fit into a certain group because you're kind of float too much into the fucking middle. And I just find it phenomenal because you have a lot of different bloggers and reviewers and all that who they may not always admit, but a lot of these people started out as artists. Like, that's the whole thing. Every critic started off trying to do that. You have a lot of people who wanted to be a screenplay writer or an actor or a director, and they couldn't get in the door, and so they became a critic to talk shit about what everybody else is doing. And Childish perfectly represents.
That's why we here.
That's why we podcast.
But we're beginning to get up high. It's a step. Cornerstone.
But that's the thing with Childish, is Childish is that nerd internet blogger who shouldn't have got as far as he did, but he did. And instead of his people championing him as this is our guy who made it, they're trying to break him down. And I think that's the reason why, because like even going to Hip Hop DX, some chick named Christina Lee reviewed the album and she gave him like 3.5 stars and was really like shitting on the CD. But the users rated it like 4.5 stars. And the same thing happened with the Camp CD. They gave him like 3.5 stars, but the fans gave it like 4.5 stars. So the people who are just listening to the music, they're blown away by Childish, but these reviewers and bloggers aren't giving him a chance because he got too far. He's not supposed to be where he's at because he's not your typical hardcore rapper. He's a fucking nerdy, insecure, internet fucking nerd that
wears
shorts that his balls might as well be hanging out.
True short shorts.
And he represents everything that hip hop is not, and he's doing the fucking thing. And so hats off. And I will say that's the reason why Childish Gambino and Kendrick Lamar are my two favorite artists right now in the game. It's my favorite album of 2013. Is Because the Internet by Childish Gambino. My favorite CD of 2012 was Kendrick Lamar's Good Kid, Mad City. And my favorite two CDs of 2011 was Kendrick Lamar's Section 80 and Childish Gambino's Camp. So for the past fucking 3 years, these two guys have dominated.
Yeah.
So.
Salute to them. And I definitely feel the same. And I was glad. I'm not sure if it's a Chicago thing or because they both kind of hype and help one another. My one of my favorite tracks, because like I said, I listened to it in the background. Only 1, 2, 3, 4 songs really stuck out to me. One was Earth, the Oldest Computer.
Yeah.
/ Last Night. The other one was the 3005, which was a really hot single.
Yeah.
I wasn't feeling the one with that one Asian bitch, because she just sounds the same in every single thing. And all she's doing is sing talking like Cassie.
I will say, because you're talking about Pink Toes, right? Now, I would say this, too, because when I first listened to it, sonically, I liked it, but it didn't really catch my attention. But it's the same thing. In that part of the screenplay, something is going on, and that song is they're talking about what's going on in the screenplay. And so it's kind of the same thing. Like, it's telling an overall story. And so...
And I mean, and I get the reference. I mean,
yeah.
Just how Dream did a song called Purple Lips or Pink, some shit like that, Purple Kisses or some shit. But my favorite song, this is someone who just listened to the album for what the album is and not all the extras.
All the Easter eggs.
All the Easter egg, which I think is dope. Like I said, as a fan, that's one thing you wish for. I would hope that those who want to be a stan or who want to stalk me and go through all my crevices, the Twitters, multiple Twitters, because I have more than one, more than three, that they're going to piece all the shits together to find something that's awesome.
Yeah.
Favorite track, though, was The Worst Guys featuring Chance the Rapper.
Chance the Rapper, yeah.
And they've been fucking with each other back and forth, and I feel like they help each other.
Yeah.
Chance, of course, gets some, you know, a little bit of publicity, some, you know what I'm saying, some recognition.
Yeah.
But also Gambino gets someone who's because he's the only other rapper on here, right?
Technically he's only on the hook. Yeah, he doesn't even spit a verse.
Which upset me because I was ready for a Childish rap.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I love that they kept it kind of classy, because how does the chorus go?
All she needed was some.
All she needed was some. All she needed was some. All she needed was some. And it's hilarious because sometimes it's all a bitch needs is a little good love. They need love, is what it is.
Got a new bath, 8K nigga. Want to take shots, 8K nigga. that record.
All I need is love, love and love, love, love. But yeah, I thought it was really dope, and I always love hearing them on a record. So
yeah,
someone who didn't piece shits together, I dug that one track. But one thing I will say, because what he's doing, from what it sounds like with all the little pieces, because of the internet, one thing that used to be done back in the day, when there was vinyls, and I'm sure, and there's a select few people who actually still press their shit. I guess shouts out to what's that snobby douchebaggy store, Urban Outfitters. They sell some vinyls. They're trying to make vinyls cool for the hipster fucks, and I hate hipsters, and I hate being compared and being called a hipster. But back in the day, albums used to have artwork. Like one of my favorite shits was this was when Paul McCartney was part of him and his wife did it. What was the name? Wings. That him and his wife had a group. They called it Wings. After he left the Beatles, and I remember, I think it was called Sonic Sounds. And on there, like, you had pictures, a collage of them during the making of the album. Him talking to him having a cigarette, having a coffee. It's them. You get to appreciate, see what was done, all the behind the scenes. And then you have your lyrics where you can sing along. You have something to look at. You have something to hold.
Yeah. And that was the thing with, like I said, how I digested the Childish album. I listened to it one time, just listened through it. I was like, okay, I was like, it's different. I was like, I was disappointed at first because it wasn't what Camp was. But I was like, okay, yeah, he's doing something different. And then the second time I listened to it, and I had the iPod playing. I was going in between the following the screenplay and listening to the songs. I also had Rap Genius up in the background where I was reading the lyrics as I was listening to the song so I could get all what he was talking about. And then, you know, going back and forth between the two. And then after I got done with all that, I listened to it again by itself. Now that I got all the hidden Easter eggs and all the message, and now I got all the story together, let me listen to it one more time, and I gave it 5 stars. I was like, this is fucking phenomenal. And there was only one song that I was impartial on, and he has a record called No Exit, but the chorus of it was phenomenal. I give the chorus 5 stars. What threw me off was the beat is very odd. And so it was kind of like, it was hard to kind of, like Yeezus, it was very kind of off kilter, and it's doing this, but then now it's coming over and it's doing something completely different. It like, it goes soulful, and then it goes fucking like hardcore and electronic whatever, but it was just all over the place. But like I said, after giving it my 3 listens and really diving in to the childishness, as I am a childish stan, and salute.
Mad respect to him, seriously. Except from being a screenwriter to just writing, he does his thing. So that was your number one.
Yes.
Right? Concluded.
Dun. No.
And like I said, I totally respect that. I need to listen to it more. I just got it this morning. That shit stuck out to me. And I definitely know he's killer with the wordplay. So because I was a big fan of Camp. Royalty was really dope. That was his black card. I accepted.
Yeah. And now he gave the black card. Now he's back on his white shit.
No, let me show you what's real.
Yeah.
So, to me, my number one, and I appreciate this person. I love all the shit talking that she does. It's a she.
Yeah.
I don't know what genre to put her at. I guess if you label it something as indie pop.
Yeah.
I love the celebrity that she's gone after, because she's been some shit talking. She's very young. So
Oh,
you know how I like them young white bitches. Ooh, damn, mention she's white. She, like I said, she went right to the jugular, talk shit about those that I talk shit about, and people give her shit. And of course, her being so young and not. I'm not sure if she doesn't have a PR that lets her know, hey, we can't be saying this. But once again, she's young. She might not get exactly how to handle the media. Was Lord. Lord is my number one album. And from the name of the album, this shit's called Pure Heroin.
Yeah.
Whether it just means that it's dope, or whether she's the heroine of the story and she's just but a victim and the one that needs saving.
Yeah.
And when Lord knows I'd be on that Captain Save-A-Ho shit. I really loved it. And from, it's only 10 tracks. She gives you enough to teeth on.
Yes.
Makes me want more.
Yes.
Did I mention she's a pale beauty? but from shits of basic little... track one, Tennis Court, you know what I'm saying, just real, like, she's a girl at school, just it's a back and forth of her and a lover. And I thought that was wordplay upon it, and the motherfucker 400 Lux from her, and I can't remember that. I wish I could just play it so I could fucking hear, so I'd be reminded of it, but it was one of those very luxurious tracks. 400 Lux is right in the name. Royals, which was her fucking single that bitches be saying. I kind of hate hearing it only because of how popular it got. And I guess that's the hipsters in me that thinks of that. Ribs, which of course said, I can't remember too much of it, but the shit she says in the song titles is what it's giving you.
Yeah.
And whether or not she's a faith, or whether or not, you know, you believe that, you know, Eve was of the rib.
Yeah.
I just feel like, yo, like, you are a woman. Like, I need you.
Yeah.
You're part of me. Buzzcut Season, which is one of my favorite tracks. I didn't even write none of the album because I think all of it was just dope. It's very catchy, and she just talking about this dude. I'm not sure if she loved him, but how, you know, dudes, how they get the close, the trim little fade, and she's so in awe that she can't wait for that so she can see all of him. And I remember this bitch tried to give me some shit saying, shave your beard so I can see your true face. Get the fuck out of here, never again. But that was one of the catchiest ones in the record. One of my favorite tracks is called Glory and Gore. And Glory and Gore to me is one of the dopest shits, because you really can't have the glory unless the motherfuckers get murked.
Yeah.
Which comes the gore, which I think is just very smart. This bitch is smart. I know one of my other favorite tracks called Still Sane. Just that you talk about all the fuckery that's in the world, but yet I'm still standing still, whatever. Yeah. White Teeth Teens is just pretty much, it's one of those, you're gonna hear that in a fucking, on a summer music movie, whatever, blockbuster, you're gonna hear that shit, and just about white teeth teens at night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And kind of... Just your basic stereotypicalness. And then, but my favorite song is the last one that closed it together, A World Alone.
Okay.
And it's pretty much just singing about how we truly are. And maybe just because I like listening to shit I can slip my wrist to.
Yeah.
Like World Alone, just talking about the sadness of it, and how we truly are. I mean, no one's unique. We're not the snowflakes that people think that we are, because outside there's going to be someone who just like you. Sometimes they beat you to it and they get publicity. Just how I laugh. I remember a buddy of mine made some song called Jays on My Feet. This was years
years ago. Yeah. And as soon as some shit came out, he's like, yeah, they took my song. Motherfucker, you're not the only black motherfucker with J's on your feet. You know what I mean? Like, you really think, once again, it's about striking the iron hot and doing, exactly. doing it first. But because the internet, anyone can be out there, which is what gives that album such a fucking awesome name. But World Alone, she says this one line, I think I mentioned it when I mentioned a record, but it still sticks to my fucking ribs.
Yeah.
Because she mentions this thing, and I'm not too sure what kind of statutory rape may have occurred, but she talks about how she was around these motherfuckers who are talking bit, how they study business, and how she studies the floor. And then she references about this dude who, I'm guessing the guy who fucked her, couldn't stop smoking cigarettes all night. Cause I'm sure if he was stressed out, freaking out, finally asked her age at the end of it, real R. Kelly style. But like,
are you sure it wasn't R. Kelly?
Who the fuck knows? I don't know how often he fits as Australia, but that album was fucking dope to me, and I don't know how motherfuckers are gonna take the Mexican of the show listening to fucking Lord, but it was my top album. And actually, it's funny. I didn't even mention because I whatever. Yeah, yeah. She gets the top pick. I'll give it to the bitch. Yeah. I like. Oh, actually, now I remember because I wanted to hate and I wanted to mention this earlier. She's with one of the darkest looking Asian dudes,
and he's over 18.
Is he now?
Yeah, there was some controversy to that because she's 16, right?
The older the better, okay.
And he's like 18 or 19 or something like that. But I guess wherever they're together at, there's no statutory. The statutory law is I think 16. Once you're 16, you can fuck whoever you want to fuck or something like that.
You could drink when you're 16.
Basically, And so, there was a little bit of controversy about that, but
just no fucking in the States, I suppose.
Yeah, just don't go on tour and fucking somebody's getting arrested.
But I started laughing because I was part of a group text. And my cousin, she sends a picture of this motherfucker, and we all start talking shit. Cause me and my sister, we love Lord, and she was just talking shit. And showed the little Asian kid, like, "Who the fuck's this guy? Like, that's her boyfriend." And I don't know, it's just hilarious. It truly lets you know, like, she's not on the material shit. She loves this goofy looking bastard for whatever the hell it is.
And we will never be royals. yes, sir.
So considering that we kind of just ended our top five, Are we and it ended off with a bitch?
So, or actually one last thing before we get out of here, just to look forward real quick to 2014 Grammys. Real quick, I wanted to touch on the album of the year. The Grammy actually has two hip hop albums that are nominated for album of the year.
What?
And those two CDs.
I see who's on the top. Okay.
Are Good Kid, Mad City, Kendrick Lamar, and The Heist, Malcolm Moore and Ryan Lewis. Both of those are up for album of the year, which I think that's a big nod to hip hop because anybody who's followed the Grammys has never given a fuck about hip hop. And that's the reason why Jay-Z and a bunch of artists over the years have boycotted the Grammys, because they'll either not really show any love towards hip-hop artists, or there's even been times where they've had hip-hop awards, but by the time they'll edit it out the show and all that, and so you just gotta go online. Like, they've really shitted on hip-hop as long as hip-hop has been out. And so that's just dope that two of the five.
Pass because of Forbean.
Because he's white. And that's the reason why, as much as people will hate to hear
this. The reason why The Heist is up here.
And that's the reason why, don't count on Kendrick dominating the Grammys or anything like that, because he's up against Malcolm Moore, and we know how it is.
If a hip-hop artist takes it,
it's going to be Malcolm Moore. That's their new guy.
But you know what? If that's the fucking case, if Album of the Year could be Good Kid, Mad City, then this motherfucker would have took the... Wait, what would you have said then? Because we told each other we cannot include Kendrick in this
time. If we would have included Kendrick in this, Kendrick would have had number one, and Childish would have been a close number two.
I like your answer.
So... The Good Kid, M.A.A.D City was a phenomenal fucking CD. Yeah. So,
and I'm actually interested to hear, because there's a lot of, I don't know if this is just homeboy shit talking, but apparently, I'm just gonna say Snoop, Schoolboy Q's oxymoron is gonna be better than Kendrick's album. Says so many of his homies.
No way in hell. Ain't nobody shitting on that Good Kid, M.A.A.D City. So.
I'm laughing that Daft Punk is on there, because listen to it. There's about five solid tracks that I liked out of it, and it's mainly because they have singers actually singing on it.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird. And then Sarah, was it Baralines? Like, it's funny because there's this one track, and I forget what it's called, but pretty much Katy Perry, that Roar song. Did you ever heard that Roar? Not Roar.
Yeah, Roar.
I think so. I think I heard it once.
Pretty much this bitch straight up bit off Sarah, but whatever, Barry Lee's album. Yeah, I forget how, I never knew how to pronounce her name. But yeah, she straight up jacked her. Yeah. Jacked her for the chorus. And Katy Perry, she, you know, being a bad white bitch that she is, she wins. And she's gonna win. And nobody said a damn thing. Well, actually, a few people on the internet said, oh, this is a total rip of this song, which it straight up was. So I hope that bitch gets some royalties out of it.
That's crazy.
So, yeah.
So, yes, sir. So,
and Macklemore got on Best New... Okay, him and Kendrick, new artist and album of the year. Okay, sweet. All right, I respect that. Yeah.
So, I respect them for throwing Kendrick in there, though I wouldn't hold my breath. If hip-hop artists win any of those global awards, it's going to go to Macklemore.
What's up with... I'm looking at Best Rap Performance. I'm guessing these are... Was there live takes of this shit? Or they're just... Because Tom Ford got a nomination for Best Rap Performance. I'm like, when the fuck did you... Is that a single? I'm guessing it would be, because that's product placement like a motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm assuming they're talking about rap performance in the sense of a single, how well it performed. Because that Started From the Bottom was big. Berserk was fairly big. Swimming Pools was big. Thrift, yeah, so I'm assuming that's what it is.
I'm kidding. That was a single. It makes sense. Like that's
the Tom Ford?
Yeah.
That's the new one. That's the reason why the dude that I was chopping it up with was talking about how he doesn't like Jay-Z new shit, because he heard that song on the radio. And he was like, I don't fucking get it. Like, he was like, I'm not in that realm, so I don't get what Jay's doing. So.
Brother. And then there's collaborations, and then there's Best Rap Song. And I like how they have it as rap.
Yeah.
Hmm. So,
yes, sir.
I'm done looking at this list.
So, yeah, this looks like this is pretty close to a 3-hour episode. But before we get out of here,
I'm going to be nappy headed for another 2 weeks, boy.
Before we get out of here, it is that time for dedications. And you can find our dedications on our official website. That's IBHMpodcast.com. There's a tab, dedications tab, and it has the pictures of all the lovely people on there. And it's also, if you click on the pictures, it'll send to their main source of social media stuff, so you can follow them, show them some love. Also, if you're on our Tumblr, ibhmpodcast.tumblr.com, there's a dedications tab, which will send you also there. And also, if you like our Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/ibhmpodcast,
like, please like it,
and we'll shout you out too on a future episode. You can find, there's a photo gallery on there with all the pictures and links as well.
All the bitches.
And since this is the year-end show, I had to go big, yo. And
I love the top one.
I had to go big, so my
just
first
my girls on top.
My first dedication goes to the lovely Iggy Azalea.
I love her.
My beautiful snow goddess. I've been fucking with her real heavy since she first came out with what was it, the Pussy record, Pussy. That
real
she,
straightforward.
Yeah, real straightforward.
This is what I want.
And I give it to her. She's a bad bitch. I can't even fucking hate on her. And I really, I wrote a blog about it on my differentstateofrhyme.wordpress.com site. I really want to see her blow up, because I think she's good for hip hop the same way I think Eminem was good for hip hop.
Did you change it from Different State of Black to Different State?
Well, I got more than one. Uh-huh. But the Different State of Rhyme, I don't really, I think I only got like 3 or 4 blogs on there, but okay. I did write about her on one. And she's, I think she could really open the door for
more fakery?
Another crossover appeal, because that was the thing, like hip hop had a certain fan base or whatever, and when Eminem blew up, then white people thought it, or white kids was like, okay, it's acceptable to fuck with hip-hop, let me check out what Eminem is saying, and oh, let me see what some other people are talking about. And the white voice
have
has
heard,
never
have you heard of this group called Wu-Tang?
Oh my god, what is this? And the white female has never had a voice in hip-hop. True. And so I really think it would be interesting for her to blow up. Now the only thing I really wish that she could talk about more than her vagina, as much as I would love to
enter
dive deep into it, I want to see her really reach as an artist and do some. I think she could be big. I think she can be big. So
like the song Work, which obviously had a catchy fucking hook.
But she was saying something.
And she was saying something. And I like how she says, and it's as gangsta as it sounded, something about the struggle. Like she's talking about the struggle and we're having to do shit.
Yeah.
She just did it in a very, I sound like I'm from Miami sort of way.
Yeah.
which you could tell, you could smell, I could sniff the fakeness on this bitch. But I mean, that doesn't mean I don't love her. And the word, speaking of fake, and the word of every fake bitch that comments on another bitch's Instagram, yes, this bitch, yes, she's bad. Oh my God, is she bad?
And now my second dedication goes to Janie Ako, who is heavily featured with Childish.
And
just hip hop in general. She released a, I can't remember if it was an EP or LP, but she recently put out a CD called Sell Out. But what made me throw her on the dead is she's heavy in the Childish Gambino screenplay. She plays a big part of that. And
we know his fascination with Asian bitches, so who knows if this
and
is his
now
Yoko.
She is, I was looking up, if you go to her Wikipedia, she is all kind of, she has a very deep ethnic background. She is of mixed race. Her mother is Japanese, Spanish, and Dominican, while her father is African American, Yakwe, Kakta, Cherokee, Navajo, and German Jewish descent. So that's the reason why she has a very diverse look. And this woman is so goddamn beautiful, in my opinion. I can't look at her picture for more than 10 seconds because I feel like I'm a fall in love. I don't know how Childish Gambino is in a strictly platonic friendship with her.
Bad
I couldn't
piece.
Be friends with her.
Bad piece.
I could not be friends with this woman. I could not be around her for more than 30 seconds and not fucking fall in love with her. So, shots out to those two lovely beauties.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Definitely. And actually, I wanted to reference some of the tracks that she had been on because she had did a track with Wale. I think Cool Off. It was on the Florin or Flo Ryan mixtape. Obviously, she'd fuck with Gambino on the Pink Toes. She had cheered on this I Love Danny Brown. It was a Ab Soul track. I guess she just did some background vocals, very undetected, like you wouldn't even fucking know. She's uncredited on the Drake album.
Yes.
She's that dumb bitch that makes all the other dumb bitches say, I love you and I feel it both of us. Like, really? You're making dumb bitches be dumb bitches. Like, God damn it. You're sending women, females back, and the reason why I call bitch a bitch. But anyways, she has some deep, heavy roots in you. I can't lie. But I will say, though, she sounds and she looks just like a Cassie.
Oh, yeah.
She just talking.
See, and she...
Now, I guess I'm just underrating her, but she writes, so I respect that she writes, supposedly.
And when I first played her for my girl back in the day, before I even knew how to fucking pronounce her name, and I still might be saying it wrong, my girl thought I was playing Rihanna at first. She thought I was playing some Rihanna record. But from what I'm hearing, and that's the other reason why I really like her, from what I am hearing from people in the industry, that she is very down-to-earth, lovable, peace.
Like
she doesn't have an ego. She's just, and that was the thing, Childish Gambino, when he was on the Juan Epstein podcast, they had asked him if he's ever been romantically involved, and he was like, no. And he was saying that he also doesn't think that he could ever get emotionally like involved with her like that, because he was like, she's such a free spirit that even if we were in a relationship, I would never think that she was mine, because she's just so with the earth.
I couldn't tame the bitch if I wanted.
Yeah, she's just so, and not that she's just part of the earth. And so, and when I heard that, it sounded a little pretentious, but as everybody else has said, that's just how she is. Yeah. She's just a free spirit, and so
that's just what another saying is: you can't ever have the fish. Her pussy is her pussy, and nobody else's. Well, definitely. Shouts out to her. I can't hate her at all.
Yeah.
She's definitely beautiful. If I can get to my top two, because I figure you definitely went big, man. You went big with that one. You took Iggy. Took Iggy like ASAP had Iggy, and then they done went to, who the fuck did they go to?
She's with Nick Young from the Los Angeles Lakers, right?
Whatever
now.
The fuck. I don't like sports now. I don't like you. I guess if I could pick my two, and it's funny because she's kind of ugly, but Lord, man, I don't know what it is about Lord. Insane. And this ain't the inner petty in me either, man. Lord has something to where I think, and maybe just because I read too much into the songs that she sang.
Yeah.
But really, that's what got me. Like, if ever, and then people make jokes, motherfuckers never fall in love with the bitch's personality. Like, that's never going to be the line you'd ever hear. But it truly is.
Yeah.
And it really is. I fell in love with her. I love, like I said, when me, and you know, I hate, I be shit talking.
Yeah.
I love that when she shit talked, she went straight for the jugular. She talked shit about Miley Cyrus. She talked shit
she
about.
She called out Drake and Nicki Minaj and said how fucking irrelevant the shit that they have to say is. Which, like, it's real
motherfucker,
talk.
Motherfucker, it's true.
Real talk.
And she went after Demi, which I'm on the fritz with. Selena Gomez, all these bitches who try to do hoish things at one point or another. I mean, I can't say on their whole career. Yeah. But she talked shit about people that I've been talking shit about. So, like, I kind of feel like our hatred for what's considered coonery and fuckery,
yeah,
we share that. It's like, oh, man, like, I really fell in love with her. And like I said, and it even and it ain't even that. She's just a white-skinned, pale beauty, which she is. And it's just the fact that I like her just as a person, and I love what she hates. I just feel her so damn much. And she, I don't know if you've seen her performances, but one thing, this is why I can't ever be a performer, because when I geek out, it looks like I'm having a goddamn seizure. And I seen her perform, and oh my god, she just does some weird fucking, this is something, she's being, the spirits are fucking going through the bitch, and she's just doing some weird little things. And God, I love it. Like, it just made me fall more in love with her. I'm like, bitch, wipe that stupid raccoon makeup off your fucking face. I love her because of that. So she's definitely, since you picked two, she's definitely she's my Iggy.
Yeah.
And she's whiter than Iggy because Iggy be trying to tan. Well, don't do that, bitch. Don't do it. For all my wittitas out there, whether you're Mexican or just white or you just light skin in general, don't you dare get a tan and look orange. Not only is it bad for your skin and you're going to get wrinkles, why are you going to do that? Don't follow Snooki and them rest of them. Just don't do it.
Don't do it.
But speaking, I guess since we gotta go hard, we gotta bang with it. Miley Cyrus.
Uh-oh.
The reason why she's on it.
Going hard in the paint. Uh-oh.
Oh, and I wanna go real deep in the paint too. You know what I'm saying? I love it when she diked it up.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't know what it is, and I don't know if God's trying to tell me that I'm a faggot, but I love that dykey look. My God, I do. And I mean, she done fucked it up, and not everyone could pull it off. And actually, look at my screensaver right here. That's my favorite dyke bitch. You see that? She's red. I don't know who the hell she is. I just found her on Twitter. Oh my God. Ooh, she's bad. But anyways, I love that look.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? And really, she's a caricature. Whether she really is this turned up bitch that just ignorant as hell because she's a Southern belle, whatever, she's doing it. And she, like, she's just a bad bitch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There ain't nothing nicer to say. Ain't nothing nicer to say. And mind you, these are dedication. These are beauties and things that we hold up high. You know what I'm saying? How we should be praising Jesus, but we're praising these idols, and we're raising them up with a proud heart and hard on. You know what I mean? So I guess I want to talk more in depth and talk about how she's deep and artistic, but she ain't at all. She's truly just something to lust after.
Yeah,
Lord, I love with my full heart, and you know what I'm saying, and all that good stuff. But
that's the thing with me. Like, Jenny Aiko is that walking goddess that you worship and you treat her well, and Iggy is my lustful. Yes.
Well, then we definitely segue.
We there.
Then.
We there. We there.
We did it properly.
So, yes, sir. Thank you guys for tuning in to this episode, the year-end episode and review.
And more so if you listen to the whole goddamn thing.
Yes, sir.
Very much.
Yes, sir. And so, yeah, we're going to go ahead and take the next couple of weeks off. We're going to come back.
This motherfucker, we done.
We're going to come. I know. I'm all through my drinks. We done went through two pipes of hookah. We done ran through it. And so we will be back in January and hit them with episode 10, start over, new year, new shit.
How dumb it should be. New year, new year. Me.
Exactly. And so once again, our email is imblackhesmexican@gmail.com. Question, comments, topics,
shit talk, please.
Anything. Yeah, if you don't like something that we say, hey, by all means, it's a free country. Say what you got to say. And you can go ahead and email us there. You can also find us on the web at the following sites: Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Tumblr, WordPress, MySpace, SoundCloud, Podomatic, Vine. Just add IBHM Podcast in an appropriate spot. You can also find us on Stitcher and iTunes. Also, Spreecast. As soon as we get our tech game up, we will be doing this live through video. Just search I'm Black, He's Mexican. And once again, if you don't feel like doing any of that, simply head to our website, IBHMPodcast.com, and you can find all of the links there. We missed it last episode. Hit you with the pound.
Yeah, pound. And I'm pretty sure both our websites have direct shit to get in contact with us directly. Right? Yes. Let's not forget to mention that.
So, yeah, if you go to the website on the tabs up at the top, there's a tab, drop down tab of Arizona Verse. It has all of my social media on there, depending on what you get down with, be it Goodreads, be it Reverb Nation, be it fucking...
Oh, you put the Reverb Nation.
I got my Reverb Nation on there also. Okay. So, you can find me on all those sites. Same thing with Dick Popo. Has all of his social media shit, all his Twitters, his multiple Twitters.
Now, mind you, I'm Dick Popo on this show because I got to be a dick. but it's Soul Popo on any sort of social media site. SoulPapo. Finally, you hooked me up, helped me with the Weebly.
This
motherfucker put himself all up in it. So y'all can definitely reach out to Arizonaverse on there too. So soulpapo.weebly.com. Or, of course, if you're on Tumblr, soulpapo.
Yes, sir.
So come say hello.
So, all of us. And on that note, show until love. Next motherfucking time,
so what,
So
I ain't gonna see you till next year?
I guess it'll be next year.
Okay.
We'll come up with some resolutions. I gotta hit the gym because actually my doctor told me that I'm 7 pounds overweight. I've never been told I'm overweight in my life. That kind of hurt my feelings. So
I'm looking at you like, shh, fuck out, fan of fight. I'm not too fatty in the 40.
I'm gonna spend the next 2 weeks in the gym trying to get my boyish figure back.
I'm gonna eat up seemingly for the next 2 weeks, and then I'm gonna worry about it next year and be like, because just in case, I'm praying to God that you know, if he comes down in a spaceship, takes us all away.
I'm
gonna eat well.
Yes, sir. So on that note, until next time, peace! One.
That slow burn, wait while it gets dark. In the sun, I feel grown up with you in your car. I know it's dumb.
Sonic.